you'd like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Quit smelling my belly button.
Harvey, let's get this picture started.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Glad to come to you on our first fundraising show of the new year. And we have just gotten off to a bang. We just had a nice pledge. And I'd like to thank the gentleman who did that. Buzz Bourbon, right here in New York. A very generous pledge. Buzz, we appreciate it.
What was that?
Okay. He's doing it that way now. All right, that's okay.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
What?
No, what? I had a dream last night.
Where is that?
Oh, sight.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Don and Mike.
Yeah, baby.
Mike. Hi there, fellow little brains.
Don and Mike Show added to new episode on Friday. Our phone number is 877-365-3636. Let me start the show by saying to you, Mike,
yes,
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.
The Showtime rotisserie oven, which has been sitting in my home since, my God, maybe the second week of December.
I'm very excited. I think I will use it this weekend.
It is
really going to do that. I'm seriously going to do that.
It's finally in your automobile.
And it's the digital kind, not the twist-top kind.
That's right. It's the way it's been explained to me, it's like almost the difference between when Betamax first came out, how it had that big channel changer thing
exactly.
on it. And then the next generation, of course, had just the buttons. And you have the older generation,
yes.
Rotime, Showtime, Ron Popeil. What is it again?
It's the Showtime rotisserie oven. And what I'm most excited about is the fact that it's probably got those plastic fireproof gloves that are in it. Because he puts all the junk in there, and I melted my fireproof gloves.
I should tell you,
they don't burn, but they melt.
The only thing that I was not able to get to was that that vegetable tray thing that goes on top.
Got it. Never use it. That's the same kind of heating principle. It'll actually give you a third degree burn if you rest your hand on top of the oven.
Sure. All I know is that Christmas comes a little late around here.
Can you believe that? You never know when you're going to get a present. I'm very excited about that.
Well, are you kidding? It's only been sitting in my basement since before Christmas.
Hey, it's okay as long as I get it. As long as I get it, and now I got it.
You got it. Oh, Mike. Anna Nicole Smith is no longer with us.
What?
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Where'd you hear that?
It's a rumor, Buzz.
Okay.
Hello, are the phones operating here?
I heard it out of the Zsa Zsa Gabor press cam.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Are these operating? Hello. Welcome to our on-air.
Sounds like we have a defective phone.
Welcome to the on-air test of our telephone system. Well, of course, this all falls on the shoulders of...
Hi, Joe!
Joe, I hope you'll reset the telephones back there and...
Congratulations, Joe. Always a class act.
Let's see. All right, we got maximum dial tone.
That is a good thing. You know, I do like the way you're diving right into the phones on these shows with no waiting. I think it sets the tone.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
There we go. Phones are reset. Everybody's on the air. What's happening?
Phones are reset, man. What are you guys doing, man?
Doing a little radio show, man.
All right.
Yep.
Right.
What are you doing, man?
Man, I'm trying to find a hot babe, man. Any hot babes coming down to the show, man?
Oh, we get them all the time, man. They come walking in here, man.
Buzz has his stable of warriors back there right now. Excuse me, his news interns.
Oh, try to keep them away.
Mike.
Yeah, right Mike. Here. I'm here for
Hold
you.
Hold on. Mike?
Yes?
I believe this is the finger guy. no, no, no. Is this
good call?
Is this you, finger guy?
No, I'm not finger guy, man. I'm trying to get laid for this weekend, man.
Why? What were you going to say to me, though? I think Don caught you.
I was wondering if you could help me at your restaurant.
I think you're trying to pull an audible here.
I do. I think he was going to do it.
I would stake my valuable reputation.
I agree with you.
This is the finger guy.
Hey, Mike, I have something to tell you, Mike.
Well, here it comes.
Dr. Phil. Did you see Dr. Phil yesterday?
No, I didn't.
You know what? He's baiting us.
He's baiting me. He's letting me go as long as possible. I see. Your finger is at the ready.
The question is,
what's that, sir?
I need help.
What do you need help with?
Man, I got to get laid tonight, man.
I'm really not the best finger.
What should I do?
You caught him.
You caught him.
I was entrapment.
This is the finger guy. Hello.
You enticed him.
Don and Mike show. That's right. You seduced him with your sexy finger. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
How you been?
Okay.
How you been?
I'm good. This is Corey out of Vegas, boys. Hey, was there any truth that Anna was supposed to be on Maury? Because to find out who the father is?
On Maury?
Yeah.
No way.
That's a joke. Yeah. That's a joke. Okay. All right. I'm sorry. Thanks, Buzz. That wasn't a funny joke.
So funny, I forgot to laugh.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike, what's good?
Howdy. I tell you what's good today.
What is good?
Flapjacks.
Oh yeah.
Our flapjacks are good today.
Try them with the maple sausage on the side.
What's happening?
Hey, man, I got a question for Mike.
Oh, dear. Go ahead.
Mike, ever since I've been listening to the radio...
Ever since you've been listening to the radio.
You've been saying Monday, Tuesday.
Yeah, I don't do it anymore.
Come on, dude. I like saying it with you.
No. You know, we evolve, and we just kind of... Didn't we just kind of ease out of that?
Yes.
Just we grow.
Just say it by yourself.
We just ease that. I say it to myself every time he does it.
It's no fun.
When Don says Friday, and I didn't say
it by yourself. And really,
listen, next month, it'll change next month, too.
It is a tribute to the greatest wooden tooth quarterback in the history of the NFL, Sonny Jurgensen. We noticed a long time ago that Sonny didn't pronounce the days of the week like everybody else. There was always a D-E-E on the end of it.
And also
Monday.
He also low-keyed the A-N-T on restaurant, so it would be restaurant. And there are a lot of old guys that do that. They choose not to say restaurant.
See you Tuesday at the restaurant.
Tuesday. Monday is my favorite day at the restaurant. Restaurant. R-U-N-T.
Right. Hello, Don.
Which is not to be confused with C-Mart.
Hello.
Doug and Jackie Christie are back.
What?
Doug and Jackie Christie are back.
Oh, that's the guy who used to play for the Sacramento Kings, remember? And he's pussy whipped. He had his wife at the stands for every game.
Who's he playing for?
Yeah. They signed a 10-day contract with the Clippers. And you notice I said they.
as a team, right. No, that guy gave us a lot of material, that guy for the Sacramento Kings.
You said a 10-day contract?
Did you hear about Ron Artest and his dog thing?
Yeah, you know, there is all kinds of NBA news from Sacramento. Mike, a 10-day contract is not unusual for a guy in the NBA.
How does that work?
You sign up for the team for 10 days, and after 10 days, if a guy's hurt, you sign a guy for 10 days, and he's on the team. It's pretty self-explanatory.
He's on for 10 days, and then he's gone?
And then maybe he gets another 10-day contract, or they sign him to a long-term deal, or they just let him go.
To me, on the surface of that, it sounds a little better for the team than the player.
And the deal with Ron Artest, you think so?
Yeah.
And the deal with Ron Artest, it's the same deal Joe has.
Huh.
And the deal with...
Joe's is shorter.
The deal with Ron Artest is that this guy lives in a mansion in Sacramento, and his neighbors are upset because the authorities have been out, the animal control people have been out, because he doesn't feed his dogs, and there have been screaming, howling dogs begging for food, and they busted into the guy's place, and it's like, what is it out there? Is it the third or fourth time with the dogs?
Yeah, it's the fourth time, and he's got one eaten by a mountain lion. He had one run away, one skin and bones, and they've had another one in possession for 77 days.
Wait, in possession for 77 days? What are you talking about? What
does that mean? Yeah, they've had him at the dog pound for 77 days. They won't let him have it back.
You know, I mean, you got that much money, you can pay people to do that. I don't get it.
You know, and then he had a blog online saying that he had provided his animals quite well, and that when he lived in Indiana, he built a cage for him, a $100,000 cage. Well, you know, we got mountain lions out here, you know.
All right, thank you, dude. Well, you know, we will continue to follow Steve Christie from formerly of the Sacramento Kings.
And isn't a mountain lion another word for a cougar?
Cougar.
Hey, this is Jeff Probst. Whoops. Don, Mike, the tribe has spoken.
Thank you, Jeff.
Jeff Probst was at the spot where the cougar sound used to be.
Cougar. There it is.
Still looking for those Don and Mike cougars. We got to get to that one of these days. Hello, Don and Mike show. Well, people keep dying on us. Hello.
Radio guys, what's up?
Howdy.
Hey, listen, my name is Zilla. Threw out a couple of whatnots.
One, I noticed.
You know, here's the thing. On My Name is Earl, it's okay, because I believe on some level that Greg Garcia, our friend, the producer of that show, he gets the joke.
Yeah, and it is a joke. It's a comedy series. Right. That's why they can do that.
He gets the joke. You know, the more I watch it, speaking of TV, as we do every goddamn day on the show, because that's all we do, The Office, I know I'm late to the party on this.
Mm-hmm.
The more I watch it, the greater it is.
Yep. I got to get back in that habit.
And last night when, I still call him the 40-year-old virgin, right, when he's with the fat chick getting married.
Steve Carell.
Yeah, and he says to her, did you break wind? And she says, no. And he says, the guy is so freaking dry. He just goes, all right, well, wow, that is pungent. I am not doing it.
No, you are.
I'm not
is
doing
this the
it.
Same one where he makes the speech at the wedding?
Yeah, and he's mad because he's pushing down the father of the bride in a wheelchair.
Right.
And at one point, the guy gets up and stands and walks. And when everybody gets up and applauds, Steve Carell gets very pissed off that dad has stolen his moment.
Right.
It's too good.
It is a good show.
About tonight? No. Because I know you're probably worried about pleasing Bob. A lot of pressure. So, did you break wind? It's okay. If you did, it's a very natural reaction. It's your wedding. And you're nervous.
That wasn't me.
Okay. Wow, that is pungent. I lost my train of thought.
I saw Wedding Crashers accidentally.
Oh, hold on, that's another cut from that show. Are we to believe that they're the only two in that scene? So so he's the one that dealt it.
Yeah, and of course he's there because he's pushing the whole thing on her.
Right.
Because she
to get married.
She gets a 6-week honeymoon because she's allowed him to be in the wedding.
Right, exactly.
Anyway, funny. Yeah, that's just funny. Then I turn on Survivor for a second, and even though I want to watch it, want to get back into it, I was thinking when we had Jeff Probst on the show about the personalities, and I watched for a second when they were getting themselves into the tribes.
I have it on the TiVo. I haven't seen it yet.
And I was thinking about some of the characters that he mentioned, some of the personalities. They were, you know, divvying the people up, and I thought, okay, I'll stick with this for a couple of seconds. I'll just TiVo The Office and stay with Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
And here is where they lost me. Here is your Survivor challenge. It was something like, not to go totally old school on your ass, but Rube Goldberg.
Okay.
Right. Do you remember Rube Goldberg was, or if you remember the game Mousetrap?
That's it, yeah.
Okay. Where there are 8,000 different contraptions.
Little mazes they have to go through.
A Dr. Seuss-type mechanism to make something happen, perfect, to make a match strike in light.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go through 8,000 revolutions of different cycles in some type of machine.
Well, he did say to us that the toughest part is location scouting and coming up with the challenges.
Well, this one, it was like this to my small brain. he said to these people, I don't know how they possibly... They're either in the red, the orange, the yellow, the purple, whatever group they're in was confusing to me to begin with.
But there's so many of them at the beginning.
Then it's put on your bandanas. Now, here's the challenge. What you have to do is get on a beach, and what you're going to do is you're going to dig up stuff, and then you're going to go through a maze, and then what you're going to have to do is put a puzzle together that is numbers, that spells out numbers, that spells out a combination to a lock, and it's an old-time sundial lock, and what you want to do is turn it clockwise, counterclockwise, clockwise, then get the flag, swim out to the middle of the ocean.
Well, you shouldn't worry about that. Huh? You shouldn't be taxing your brain. all you have to do, no matter what the challenge is, and I've seen those kind of challenges before, no matter what the challenge is, you just sit back and you get to see who wins. So, you know, you don't have to, you know what you're doing. You're looking at it as though you have to solve that puzzle. When you can just go, I don't care what the instructions are. I just want to see who comes in first.
No, but it's too confusing for me. How can I follow who's in first place? If I can't follow,
right.
How the hell are they supposed to put this sundial together?
This is true.
And then turn it clockwise, counterclockwise, right. Clockwise, get the flag, run up the beach.
I know the kind you like. You like the same ones I do. When they have to stand on a pole for 4 hours.
I mean, listen.
And you see the beads of sweat dripping down their nose.
You know what it is?
It's
not the most exciting TV, but you're right. Or, you know, give me the good old-fashioned tug-of-war.
Or swimming.
Always good.
Where they have to dive down and, you know, get something out of a crate.
Always good. So had to bail on that last night. And even during The Office, at one point during a commercial, had to bail because I had to see the coverage that old ANS is getting.
Yeah.
And goddamn, she, of course, is absolutely everywhere.
Quit smelling my belly button.
And they're finally getting the DRUGSs with her.
Yeah, well, I think the fact that we haven't had autopsy results yet.
Here's the latest
proof
that. CBS2 in South Florida says investigators found illegal narcotics as well as prescription meds in her hotel room. Investigators removed 8 bags of evidence from her hotel room. What I thought was interesting was something we touched on yesterday. They're playing the tapes of her. They're playing like this morning on the Today Show. Meredith Vieira is talking to some tool from Entertainment Tonight.
Right.
Who's got the wedgie of wedgies because all of a sudden this fluff piece reporter is on the friggin' Today Show.
And is this, I think this is the guy, Rob, that I was talking about yesterday that got all the access to her down in the Bahamas.
Absolutely.
The guy that never questioned her drug use.
And listen, but this ran through the entire show because it not only the Entertainment Tonight Show, but on the Today Show, Meredith Vieira says to this guy, what do you got for us? And they play the tape. And it's Anna Nicole Smith, you know, going, I don't know. And they come back and Meredith Vieira says to him, you know, there was talk that she was involved in perhaps some sort of drug activity.
Yeah, what are they doing?
And then the reporter tool guy from Entertainment Tonight,
yeah, he's the great denier,
who was sitting there with her, says, well, Meredith, you know, I've heard stories that she was involved with both legal and illegal pills. And then they just kind of drop it.
They do, and he's the greatest for anybody for ignoring. I was wondering when he did the interviews in the first place, and they're down there in the Bahamas, and he completely ignores it.
For God's sakes, we tear apart Paula Abdul every single week on TV because we think she's effed up on something. Here's a chick who's dead, and everybody is treating her, first off, like she wasn't involved in something that screwed her up. And the other thing is, if you were not absolutely right on yesterday, you said to me during a commercial break,
right?
God, I hope they don't compare her to Marilyn Monroe.
Because I knew they would. I knew they would. As soon as the first opportunity, you'd have the shots of Marilyn.
Of course, it's the story. It's easy. It's easy.
There's no way, though.
Marilyn Monroe was a big cow who married some old dude for his money, right?
Yeah, no, Marilyn Monroe was iconic in that she was, you know, in these movies, she was starting to have a legitimate film career.
She's Norma Jean.
And you know, but of course, you've got the blonde. And the thing is, Anna Nicole Smith patterned her look after Marilyn Monroe.
Right.
It was a store-bought look that she wanted to do after. You know, granted, Marilyn Monroe is a bottle blonde, too.
So they did that as well. They had, you know, Marilyn Monroe on one side, her on the other, going, ooh, creepy coincidence. One was 39, one was 39.
When in our society, I'm curious about this, as far as these celebrities go, when do we get to the point where we come out and we say, hey, she is wasted. They're doing Paula Abdul the same way.
Right.
They say, hey, you know, we have speculation, and then she comes out and she denies it,
but no,
and nothing happens. And then you're going to see Paula Abdul show up in a hotel room, and everybody's going to say, hey, what happened? I guess it's up to the person.
I guess my point is that we have no problem saying Paula Abdul's effed up. I mean,
even with that, they don't really pursue it.
Right.
They let it slide. And then Paula Abdul comes out and is sitting there in the back of a limousine with the window rolled down and says, I've never been drunk a day in my life.
You know,
everybody goes, okay, because ultimately it is the person's responsibility.
Yeah, and isn't that where we get into, like, super policing? And I know you didn't mean it like that. It's like,
oh, I'm not talking about the media. I am talking about the people that, well, it's going to come out. It's going to come out, I think. This is just speculation that guy, Howard K. Stern, was a pretty bad guy. I really think that's what's going to happen, that he enabled her.
Don't you mean the other Howard Stern, Mike?
I love the other one. The thing is, that's what's going to come out of this, I think. You know, they're talking about the potential of criminal neglect.
He says, why doesn't anybody just say, you know, God, she sure did appear effed up every time she was on TV.
Beyond, I mean, even beyond the normal, I mean, wasted thing.
She would weigh 300 pounds, then she'd weigh 100 pounds, and then she'd have bags under her eyes like nobody's business.
She was messed up on interview shows. She was messed up on award shows.
Not that it matters. I mean, what do we care? Why not say it? It's not like her family is going to come back and sue you. I think everybody should just be upfront about it. If Paula Abdul is drunk, so what? Just come out and say, I drink before the show. You know, same thing with sports. Why are we urine testing our athletes? You know, and I'm not just talking about recreational drugs. If some guy wants to take human growth hormone and make himself eight feet tall, knowing that it's going to take 20 years off his life, but it's going to give me a better game to watch, fair trade for me.
If everybody can do it.
I'm not the one that's putting my life on the line.
Right.
And if it gives me better enjoyment, I'd like to see high players playing football.
Yeah, you get into the whole question on that of, you know, if he's doing that, how young do the guys that might not know better start that?
Yeah.
And then they do it, and then you get the 12-year-old that's coming into school going, I missed my homework assignment.
I think we're already there. I think maybe we've even already had this discussion at one point where I thought we should get all of the druggies and put them all on one team.
Right.
Exactly.
Have a special, the superstar team.
And just let them do whatever they wanted and let them go from town to town. Let's see how guys
But have them play after the age of 50 so that, like, on the first special teams player runs down the field and without even hitting anybody breaks his femur.
He's down. There's all that talk that Dwight Freeney, when he's playing, was loaded out of his mind.
Mm-hmm.
They played pretty good. It's not my life. Let them play, put them all on one team. Same with the celebrities.
See, you and I disagree on this issue. I think that they ought to eliminate and ban performance-enhancing drugs, but it's the other drugs that they should let them play on. They're just the simple recreational drugs are what they should allow them to play on. To me, then you got a better game.
Well, either way, Mike.
We have it on good authority that this player playing defensive tackle for the Minnesota Vikings today is on the worst kind of heroin you could ever. And you just see a guy just standing there going, sleeping.
No, that's why I would like a team full of those druggies. And same with our entertainers.
Right.
You have your beloved entertainers who you're going to put on a pedestal, who you're pretty sure are never going to do anything stupid, like, well, Mr. King, Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
Okay. You put him there. You'd put, like, Diane Keaton there. And then you've got, you know, your Anna Nicole Smith pile, your Paula Abdul pile, your the guys in Oasis pile, the Gallagher brothers, where it's okay to say, hey, welcome to today on Tuesday morning. Anna Nicole Smith is dead. No one is surprised. Jesus Christ, did you see her on TV? Let's go to the guy from Entertainment Tonight. Be realistic about it.
Right. Sad end to a troubled life. I like that's the... That's the headline in USA Today, and that's the angle they're all going for. I mean, it's kind of weird. Isn't it? And this one is more surreal today. Nobody is really expressing real sadness.
No.
It's because she's a la
Princess Diana sadness.
Because Anna Nicole Smith is a joke.
But they are giving her just as much coverage
as
Princess Diana. It is a very strange little situation.
Everybody's talking about
it. And, again, it's in the tone that is being presented. And I'm going to stick with the Today Show, because they're pretty consistent in my opinion at least, at doing stuff well, and they really screwed the pooch on this. When they go to break, and they're talking about her, and it's Meredith Vieira, and she says, out of the tape piece, she says, Anna Nicole Smith, dead at 39. We'll be right back. Now, I got news for you. They didn't handle the death of Gerald Ford like that.
No way.
It was Gerald Ford, one of our best presidents, dead at 87.
Yep.
Let's go to Al Roker with the weather now. Hey, Al, what's happening out there in Jimmy Dean land?
Sure.
Anna Nicole Smith.
Did they play a little music for the picture of her?
No, and here's the thing. They did it absolutely silent.
Cold.
And that is the absolute ultimate tribute. Because, like, even on SportsCenter, when someone dies, you get the sad...
Da-da-da. Right.
Da-da-da. And sometimes they put the sad NBC music.
Uh-huh.
But if it's dry, no music...
And then they reflect back on all the previous interviews she's done. So there's nobody, once again, doing any real journalism. There's nobody down there really digging through. There's nobody trying to find maybe the sources of the narcotics or maybe do a little background on where this guy, Howard K. Stern, has been and what they... You're not getting any of that because you know why? Because that's difficult.
She's a big, fat slut.
And that would require effort on the part of these shows. And when you can show her you know, in one of her Playboy photo shoots and one of the videos. It's so much easier to exploit that without having to do real journalism. Why should they bother?
Isn't it funny watching her kiss the old age-spotted guy, though?
Oh, my God, where she's in the wheelchair and she's just standing up there. Incidentally, has anybody in any of this coverage found out the whereabouts of the boyfriend lawyer? Has anybody found where Howard Kay is?
I'm not sure they located him.
Yeah, I don't think they have, which is kind of weird.
Oh, really?
Wouldn't you think? I mean, I heard nothing about him being at the hospital with her.
I've heard the other guy on TV, the guy that's
filing for, and now the new, right. Which one that's filing for paternity, her or Zsa Zsa's husband?
The Cato Kalin guy, the guy with the streaks in his hair.
Right.
And again, nobody wants this baby. They want the money that comes with this baby.
Well, isn't this prince that was married to Zsa Zsa, isn't he worth a gazillion dollars, too?
Yeah, and that's the other thing growing
here. He's 64 years old.
This is amazing.
Yeah. It's a weird story.
Here we go.
She banged a lot of guys.
The husband of Zsa Zsa Gabor alleges he had a 10-year affair with Anna Nicole Smith.
Amazing.
And he is the baby's daddy.
Wow.
Prince Frederick von Alt. the paternity suits. Let me see. Blah, blah, blah.
Does he have a paternity suit, too?
He comes admit a paternity suit.
Right.
With Howard K. Stern and the other guy, Larry Burkhead. So now there's... Right. Three guys saying that the baby is theirs.
But why has he only come forward after she died?
Interesting.
Do you think he had an arrangement with her? Do you think he had an arrangement with her where he was not to come forward, during this whole thing?
Well, money's not a motive for him.
Yeah, don't you think it?
Well, sure it would be.
For the prince?
Buzz, can you ever have enough money? Isn't Anna Nicole Smith money really like... F you, my, like,
oh, yeah.
F everybody.
Yeah, but she's
money.
Never going to get that money.
Like, 800, well, now she's not going to get anything at all.
Yeah, but I don't think the estate's going to ever see any of that money.
Well, they might be able to siphon some of it down to the kid, and they might be able to squeeze some of that kid money out for themselves.
But I really think this prince, if I'm correct, is worth a lot of money anyway.
I would bet that he's not. I bet he's like a fake prince. That's
really?
Off Zsa Zsa.
Well,
yeah.
Then where do you get that from?
That's just the hunch I get. I mean, if you're a prince living in Hollywood, if you're a prince, you live in
No, I believe Zsa Zsa married money. I believe Zsa Zsa and Ava, that's what they were all about. And this guy was included. They like to marry money.
I don't know.
Even though he's like 25, 30 years younger than she.
Shouldn't he be a king by now?
Hello, Donna Mike Show. Hello. Hello.
Singing telegram for Rob?
A singing telegram for Rob.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Hello, we're waiting. Which Nazi song is that, Rob?
I think that's Wagner.
With the bad cell phone?
Yes, it's Wagner with the bad cell phone. The bad cell phone hop plot.
All right, I'll be there, Zane.
Be the same.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Howdy, we're doing great.
Some of the things that I heard today, and, you know, I'm sick to my stomach that I know so much about this, but there, the house boy was there, her nurse was in the room, and Howard K. Stern was in the room when she... Oh, first overdosed.
Right.
That you correct.
But I don't know if anybody's seen him since.
Right.
And then the other guy that claims the baby is his actually did file suit as soon as the baby was born.
Yeah, and that guy is on a street corner saying, anybody that wants a DNA sample from me, I'll give you one right now.
Exactly. And Howard K. Stern is saying is basically they were staying in Bahamas to evade the law.
Jesus Christ.
Wow. And overweight Anna Nicole Smith.
What a mess. Wow.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi. How long till Elton John alters a song for Anna Nicole?
Oh, dear. Here we go.
Now, I want to tell you something. Elton loves Norma Jean. Elton knows the difference between Norma Jean and Anna Nicole Smith.
Like a candle in the wind.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Howdy.
Hey, is this Joe?
An overweight Anna Nicole Smith?
Yes, this is Joe. Hello.
Yeah, I found out how Anna Nicole Smith died. Trim spa, baby.
Apparently, this is one of Joe's friends calling the show, so we're not going
to... You know, in fairness to Joe, this gives you a little idea what Joe deals with every day.
Well, why should we be fair to Joe? Why should we start
We shouldn't
that?
Be fair because Joe wasn't listening to the show yesterday.
Why should we start that precedent today?
That's right.
Oh, yeah?
In fact, jot that down when I say, in fairness to Joe.
That's right.
That'll rarely come out of my mouth.
Hi, Joe!
That'll come out of my mouth a lot.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys.
Howdy.
Prince Frederick von Anhalt, this guy married to Zsa Zsa Gabor. Right.
Prince Frederick von Anhalt.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he's terribly wealthy.
Why?
I think I've read that somewhere, actually. I think that he's got a hereditary title, but he's not really, you know, he's not really rich. I think she probably has more money than he does.
Well, she's 90 and he's 64, so
hey,
who knows?
Go. Baby, rub between my toes.
He's the little sugar daddy for, well, she's not the sugar daddy. She's the mama daddy.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
What to do? Good afternoon, Don and Mike. I'd like to tell you about my gaudy affair with Anna Nicole Smith.
That's it, on the record, grease fighting paternity.
Thank you, Doug. Doug. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Doug.
Katie Couric last night.
What?
Katie Couric last night on the news.
What about her? Katie Couric face made for low def?
Damn straight. No, first off, it was, okay, it started off with the thing about autism. Then it was the Iraq War. The third story she led with was the death of Anna Nicole. And I was thinking to myself, what are these poor families thinking, sitting at home, watching their children die overseas, and then having Katie Couric talk about Anna Nicole?
You know, I'd say, I'm surprised that it was the third story.
I am, too. I really am.
I would give Katie Couric some credit for that. You had two other stories that were before.
I'd be curious to see what it was on ABC and NBC.
Yeah, it was the first break, and I was like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, listen, in our society, it can be in the first break. I mean,
we can all say that we, you know, hey, this is ridiculous. It's getting this much play. But we're all talking about it, and we're all curious about it. I can't really explain why we are, but we are.
Yeah.
She's a big, fat slob. She's a big, fat slut. We've all looked at her. We've all thought about her.
You know, they all wanted to get her on award shows. They wanted to get her on the TV, the Magic Box.
Listen, they had the tapes ready for her death, like they do with someone who's old and clinging to life. That's why this is no surprise to anybody, certainly in media. You know they got those tapes ready.
They have the bios ready for a lot of people.
Like if anything
young
happened.
Young and old.
Right, if anything happened to Bush, the other Bush, Bush 40 or whatever it is.
Right.
You know, they'd have the tape ready right away, you know.
And they got 43 ready, too. They got all that stuff. They got, you know, leaders in the Senate, everybody. They got a lot of those ready to go.
Right, and you know that somewhere someone said, ha-ha, hey, Anna Nicole Smith.
Here it is.
This is ready to go.
Here's that old footage.
Plug this in the machine right now. This will be our lead story.
And don't you agree, like everybody, I think they might be coming out and saying, we're waiting for the toxicology report, but everybody knows what it's going to be.
I mean, she's effed up.
It's an overdose. Hello. Everybody knows that.
Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey, do you guys both, I know you guys think that Howard Stern is a weasel, that his lawyer, but do you find it weird that he was in a room when she died and in the room when the son died?
I think that's pretty interesting stuff.
And
that's,
did not accompany Anna Nicole to the hospital.
Arresting.
That's the weirdest thing of all.
Right.
He didn't go along. Like, did he go back to the Bahamas, maybe? Get out of Dodge?
I do not know. No one saw him.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
Hi. So, Zsa Zsa's husband, the prince.
Zsa Zsa's husband, the prince, says he's the father of Anna Nicole Smith's baby.
Yes, but Anna Nicole met him at a hotel and said, I want to be a princess, too. And he said to her, well, I will adopt you. And then they ended up having an affair. So he was like, I'll adopt you as my daughter, and I'll bang you at the same time.
What is your source for this, honey?
I read it on some website today.
Some website.
Somewebsite.com.
All right. Thank you.
And we wonder why she's in the news.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Some website had it.
Hello.
Hello, I'm calling because I want to make confession.
Yes.
I am a 50-pound Twinkie, and I kill Anna Nicole.
There is the 50-pound Twinkie with the accent.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
That's a Spanish Twinkie.
Hey,
Hello.
Twinkie full of Percocet.
I am very sorry that I killed Nicole.
Big, gigantic Hostess Snowball.
Hello, I am your favorite cream-filled treat. Yellow cake filled with cream.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
How are you?
Hello.
Eat me. Go on now. Anna Nicole. Look, I'm over here. I'm a 50-pound yellow cake with cream injected inside buttercream.
You look so good. I want to eat you.
Eat all of me, Anna Nicole.
With one of your friends.
And then, of course, because I don't break down. Incidentally, that's a myth. I saw that on the Food Network.
Oh, really?
It actually does have quite a... It has a shelf life, not unlimited.
Don't you have some other bad food friends I could eat?
Yes, I would like to meet my friend Twinkie 2 and Ho-Ho. And this is my good friend, Zinger. But unfortunately, Zinger isn't that Little Debbie.
I will eat Little Debbie right now.
Little Debbie's cannot come to the party. Unfortunately, they have traces of metal in them. So they cannot. I am Caesar El Twinkie. Good. Anna Nicole, eat me yellow cake. Delicious yellow cake filled with creamy icing.
I need my meth. Will you fill this sample jar for me?
Of course I will. Yes, sirree. Then bite half of me, 25 pounds worth, and then bite the other half. That is sure to kill you, my love. Ah, yes. Here I am, sitting over here on the kitchen counter, Anna Nicole, on your Bahamian kitchen counter, waiting to be ingested into you, my dear.
You are a big 50-pound Twinkie.
Make sure you do not spill any crumbs into your belly button. Bueno, Anna Nicole.
I want to eat you.
Go ahead. Enjoy. Enjoy this wonderful confection.
You come in suppository form?
I can do that if you wish. I suggest you put me in the freezer first. Bueno.
As you be my suppository.
Ole! Ole, Anna Nicole.
That's my 50-pound Twinkie.
Muchas gracias, my blonde bombshell. Oh, you blonde bombshell. Eat some of this blonde cake with the cream injected inside.
I want to eat your cake.
Ah, yes, I am your Twinkie, Anna Nicole, standing by with my Spanish accent.
Where's my attorney, Howard K. Smith?
He's preparing your narcotic
Howard
toxin.
I know.
It's Howard K. Smith. I wish he was Howard K. Smith. It'd be easier.
And, you know, the other Howard has got to be loving this, because the only reason people say Howard K. Is because they don't want him to think it's the DJ.
Right. Exactly. She is a big Twinkie eater, I believe.
Yeah.
Muy bien. Muy bien, Anna Nicole.
Right. One more call on this, and then we're we got someone coming up, because we got a guest today.
Good.
More than one guest today. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Howdy.
Hey, I got a prediction for the trifecta, starting with Anna Nicole Smith.
All right.
How about Robert Downey Jr. and Bill Walsh? That sound pretty good?
Yeah, Bill Walsh is battling a disease.
Bill Walsh has leukemia, and the last time, and that's really not fair, like, put lumping him with Anna Nicole Smith. And who's the other one you had?
Robert Downey Jr., another drug-addled celebrity who appears to
be kind of clean now?
I think he's gotten his life together.
Yeah. By the way, they say in Florida there's no evidence to indicate that a crime was committed. They still don't know the actual cause of death. They say illegal prescription drugs were found in her room, but no illegal drugs were found.
So that's contradictory to a story that came out earlier where they said they had found illegal drugs.
Channel 2 in South Florida says investigators found illegal narcotics.
Right. So that contradicts their story.
Investigators just announced just now that they did not find illegal drugs.
Okay.
But they did find prescription drugs.
And who believes that? Yeah. Who believes that everything she was doing was just absolutely 100%? Oh, my God, that reminds me. Last night when I was in CVS, I was picking up some of my meds and waiting at the pharmacy pickup. There was a chick in front of me, and I had no idea what she was going through. I thought that she was one of these people like, when is my prescription going to be ready? Do I have to wait for blah, blah, blah? She was standing there, and they were getting out a book, and she was asking questions. Turns out all she wanted to do was buy Sudafed.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
All she wanted to do was buy Sudafed, and they pulled out this big ass book, not like the regular book that you have to sign in for prescriptions. And then they asked her all kinds of questions like, okay, do you want 12-hour or 24-hour? And then her question was, what's the difference between them?
Oh, so it was on the pharmacy where they were giving her the third degree because she was said, now they have to sell that because it's crystal meth stuff.
Right. And meanwhile, I'm standing behind her going, you know, I need my Xanax! Give us a Sudafed! I'm pretty sure she's not going to use it for meth! Look at her! She's got a cold! I've got anxiety!
But no questions for you, though, when you got up to the counter.
Oh, of course not. Right. Of course not. Yeah. What's that, 2,000 Xanax? Sign right here. Sign right here. Have a good time. Would you like a bottle of Johnny Walker to go with that?
Ah, fantastic. Wash it right down. How about Johnny Walker Blue? Or Johnny Walker Green that I saw the other day in the liquor store. I happened to be in a liquor store the other day.
What is the difference between... And I don't even drink that stuff. What is the difference between Johnny Walker regular, Johnny Walker blue, and Johnny Walker green?
As far as a shot is concerned, about $250.
So if you buy the good stuff, is it worth it?
I've never had it, actually. I've never had Johnny Walker blue. Oh. We sell it. And it's really expensive per shot because the bottle's so darn expensive. But then when I was in the store the other day, I saw behind the counter, they had Johnny Walker Green, which was like in between the regular red stuff and the blue. And it was expensive, too. But I think what it is, usually with any kind of whiskey, it's aging. It's been around for so long.
So it's aged for a long time.
Yeah, it's got a little more taste, a little smoother, actually. And it's also been distilled a lot longer and kept in big oak barrels.
The layman's question would be, you know, do it get you drunker better?
Well, yeah, I think it does. I think it actually has it's really, if you're a connoisseur, if that's like all you drink and you're a real Scotch drinker, that stuff will taste better than the average stuff. It's like the Irish whiskeys have their little progression, too. And believe me, the real good stuff, the expensive stuff, does taste a lot better than the other. But, you know, when you've had, well, I'll be conservative here, when you've had 11, it really, they can actually slip a regular one in to you, and you won't notice the difference. No, not a chance.
They could step on it, and you would have no idea.
It's the same thing, for example, bad wine. You know, you can get like a great glass of wine, expensive imported wine, or great wine from Napa, and you know, you have that for your first one or two. On number 8, go to the box.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just get something out of the box, and put ice in it. It won't matter. You know, nobody's really going to be able to tell at that point in time. I mean, at that point, you'll drink anything.
Put ice in your wine from a box.
Sure. Boxed wine with an ice cube in it. Let the ice melt, serve it, and say it's the same stuff, but you have had 8, and you're like, this is really tasting better and better.
Hold on a second. I love learning about the restaurant business and
thank you.
And liquor. And
nothing I would ever do, though. I would never do that in my establishment. I would never serve you something that wasn't legitimate.
Wow. You know? That's right.
I certainly didn't want to make it. I was really talking about my private home.
Right.
When I lie to myself. You know, when I get the wine out of the box, put an ice cube in it and say, this is cake bread. This is really good.
I've been to Mike's joint so many times, countless times.
Oh, boy. I tell you, you know, Don drinks a very high grade of vodka, and boy, do we laugh when we give him the Bowman's.
And I sit there and I go, you stepped on this. As I sit in my solo spot at the bar.
And I go back into the back room and go, who gave that to him for his first drink? I said, that's his 11th. Only on his 11th, for God's sake. What the hell are you doing? Now get out there right now and give him a little Mikey burger. Jesus Christ. Heads will roll. Heads will roll.
Because as you know, I live at your bar. Most nights. They call me Norm. Mm-hmm. I'm there so much at Mike's place. I got my own spot at the bar.
Well, that's what we tell our servers to say when you come in. Is Don going to be here? And we say, whenever anybody asks that question, he'll be in later this evening.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
I'm always there later.
If that question is asked, it's a standard answer that they're there to give. He's coming in later this evening. You're going to be there tonight, as a matter of fact.
Yes, I am. Tonight is watered down during Friday.
You're coming in at quarter of one?
Quarter of 1 a.m.?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what time you get in there, right?
Okay, I guess. Yeah, that's right, Mike.
Or is it quarter of 12? Which time are you coming in?
Exactly. What are you doing? I don't go to your place. I mean, no offense. I don't go
I'm
anywhere.
Making it. Why'd you switch off the joke? What are you doing to me?
Yeah.
We had something good going, and you're supposed to just go, yes, I'll be in at quarter of one.
Oh, yes, I'll be in at quarter
there
to one.
There it is, yeah.
Okay. I'll be there at quarter to one.
He got confused halfway through the gag. Yeah. I wasn't sure what was going on here. You know?
Well, I'm in the room. You can look at me. You don't have to look at him.
Well, sometimes I look at him when you confuse me.
No, but you don't have to look at him and say, well, he didn't get what I was saying. You can look at me.
I do that every now and then. I do that more often than you. And that's the move, incidentally, now that we're in the new studios. This is the move. Watch carefully. This is the move. It's like, all right, watch this.
Okay.
When you say something that really weirds me out or confuses me, I go, what's the deal with him?
I don't know.
You see, it's the thumb. The thumb goes up like this.
Turn to Buzz.
Points to you.
Look at Buzz and like the pointing at me like, hey, what's asswipe got to say back there?
Well, we're rolling along on that. And obviously, you're like, I'm not going in. I'm like, keep the joke going. Come on. It'll help business, you know? You'll be there at quarter of 11 now.
See, now I understand the joke. Right. The joke would be to help your business out.
The joke, seriously, and this is the serious answer to that. I went in with, I think, Rob or Daryl, our old engineer, to a place down in Memphis, Tennessee, B.B. King's.
Right.
And we were having a significant amount of beers. Uh-huh. And I think the minute I walked in, I asked one of the bartenders, I said, is B.B. King going to be here tonight? And the guy said, yeah. And remember that, Rob? Because it was like, yeah, he's coming in later on tonight. He's probably going to be in the second or third set.
Right.
Which meant And we were there, what, at 7:30? Some amazingly early time.
We stayed until another early
time. And by the, seriously, by the beginning of the third set, we're all just faced, and we're going, man, they really duped us. He's not coming in here.
And the grand finale of the night is Daryl had his electronic organizer, and he dropped it in a mailbox. He mailed it.
I have no idea why he did that.
I don't know either. Well, I do, because he was
faced. Drunk.
He was faced.
He put it in a bank teller, right? One of those ATMs?
No, it was a mailbox.
He put it in a bank teller.
I thought it was I thought he put it in an ATM deposit box.
We were both drunk, so I don't know. But I know he lost it.
Was it? What, didn't he have it, like, postmarked or something?
It found its way back
to him.
His
PDA?
Yeah.
His
phone? No, it was something else he put in there. Wasn't it his phone?
No, that we didn't have phones back then.
No, that's right.
Yeah. I know. It was a stone tablet.
With instructions on it.
Exactly. I was not with you guys. I don't know what you're talking about.
It's funny. You always love going out and partying with us in Memphis.
So we need to make Memphis worthwhile.
Hey, it's a great town.
Jesus.
With great people. And
God-forsaken hole.
Ducks in the hotel.
God, the Ducks. The only thing it had going for it. And even that was a joke. Remember that when I made you go look at the Peabody
Hotel? Oh, the Peabody Hotel, right, because I had seen it in the movie The Firm.
Right.
And Mike said they got this big thing. You got to come down to the lobby for the Parade of the Ducks. And we sat down there like two British royalty queers sitting in these big olden time chairs, these antique chairs.
Pulled them right up front to where the red carpet was, where the Ducks walk across.
And there were like seven Ducks walked through the lobby. And I looked at Mike and I said, is that it? He's like, isn't this great? And I remember
I said they come all the way down from the roof on a special elevator.
But you came because you said, isn't this great?
Isn't this terrific?
I sat there for a minute, and then I remember you said, you know what? This really does blow.
I think I might have said after that, do we ever have to come back to Memphis again?
This blows. Well, goddamn, we have not hit our break yet, did we?
No.
Oh, for goodness sakes, who's producer this week? Someone should have reminded me of that.
I believe the producer is...
You got the guy next?
Yeah, Pete Silko.
Okay, all right, well, we come back. Oh, I know this guy. We have two guests today, and this guy's the first one.
Ah, that's a good tease.
When we come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The cameras continued to follow Smith. In 2002, she starred in her own reality TV series, The Anna Nicole Show. Smith's fluctuating weight and slurred speech sparked rumors of drug use. The most glaring example, this appearance at the 2004 American Music Awards.
If I ever record an album, I want this guy to produce my...
I'm on my second beer.
Stop it now.
Hi, Joe.
The Don and Mike Show.
He's smelling my belly button.
Like a backward brain fart. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, let's see on the phone now. Oh, we have Steve the Bouncer. Who doesn't love Jerry Springer? Everybody's watched Jerry Springer. Be honest.
Come on now. We've all watched it.
We've watched it. I put this guy, the bouncer, Steve. I don't know the guy worth spit. But I put him in the same category as I put, like, the Tuttles.
Yeah.
On American Chopper. That he
sure.
He seems to be a guy, when I've seen him on the Jerry Springer Show, takes no crap from people.
Nope.
Got no problem separating the knuckleheads on that show. Doles out his own set of justice. Seems to be a hard ass, but seems to be the type of guy that maybe you might want to pal around with and be his buddy.
Has a great name, Steve Wilkos. I like, that's a tough-sounding name.
And he's always looked to me to just be the supreme hard-ass, and he's now getting his own TV show.
Former Marine and a cop.
I have no idea. Are they giving, like, a Tyra Banks show?
It's his own show.
What's he going to do, just beat the crap out of people?
I'm not sure what the show's going to be. Is it going to be like a Judge Judy, only with a tough guy? What's going on?
Well, you know, who would know?
Who would know?
Steve.
The guy we have him on the line now.
Hello, dude. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great.
Hey, nice to meet you. As I was just mentioning, big fan. I am a big fan of yours and your role on the Jerry Springer Show over the years. Did you think when you took the role as a bouncer that you'd become as popular as you are?
Well, because when I first started at Springer in 1994, I was a Chicago policeman, and I was hired for one day, and I thought that's all. It was a security gig for a day. It was an off-duty job. And I never thought I'd stay there, let alone end up getting my own show.
See, now, it says here it is a talk show. I'm sorry, go ahead, Doug.
I was just going to say, do you notice what I like about this guy when I've seen him on TV and heard him speak? It's that same in your face, that same tunnel way of speaking, that
kind
same,
of the Chicago Ditka can affect the weather by his mood.
That whole my way or the highway. You will do it this way or you will not do it this way.
So, Steve, it says here you're going to have a talk show. Is the talk show going to be similar to a lot of the stuff you see on Springer now where people come out, you know, who's the father and that kind of stuff? Is that what we're going to see?
Well, we don't. That's the Maury Povich show, who's the daddy kind of thing.
Right.
But, we don't do that, Springer. And basically what we're doing, we're going to have kind of the same kind of guests that have problems, but as where Jerry kind of, you know, just brings the story out and lets it unfold on stage, what we're doing with me is being the cop that I was in Chicago and taking a stand and kind of like, you know, giving a verbal kick in the butt if they need it, and even to the victim, because sometimes you got to make people realize, hey, you know, you got yourself in a situation, you know, if you want to get out of it, get out of it.
You know, when I watch Springer's show, you see people come on those shows, and, you know, granted it's a lot of trailer park trash you get on there, and there are a lot of other people that come on that show as well, but you look at that and you say, my God, what would compel people to come on the Magic Box and air their dirty laundry? And you seem to have an unlimited supply of them.
Well, you know, there's a lot of, for a very big country, but people with a lot of problems in it, so... You're never gonna run out of those kind of things. So,
hey, what's the most ass you've had to kick on that show? I mean, the cameras rolling or not rolling? What's the most ass? Where really you've had just so many knuckleheads up there? You've really
We actually taped one of my shows where I hosted, where I was filming for Jerry a couple weeks ago, and the guy actually grabbed me by the throat. And he actually left bruise marks on my throat.
Cool.
Probably a bad move on his part, I would think.
Oh, pretty bad move, because I just, you know, I kind of just picked him up and slammed down to the stage. And, you know, of course the crowd went wild and all that.
Cool.
I get backstage and the producer's like, man, you can't do that. You know, we're going to... I said, hey, listen, somebody grabs you by the throat. I'm not being an actor out there. I'm not being a TV host. I'm being myself.
Well, I would assume they signed a release that... you know, with that kind of altercation happening all the time on that show, I would assume they sign a pretty significant release that allows that.
Yeah, you know, it's pretty released, and you know, and people, you know, it's like it is what it. And I don't want to say that.
It is what it is. I like that.
Our show, everybody knows what it's about. It's about confrontation. There are physical confrontations. When I'm trying to, on my show, stop it, because I'm being the cop that I was on the streets of Chicago, and I'm not going to let the fighting. I am going to step in and stop it. But when this guy put his hands on me, and like anybody would, if you were out the street of Chicago or anywhere and somebody came up and grabbed me by the throat, I would react the same exact way.
How is Springer with you getting your own show? Is not a spinoff of his show, but you're known from his show. He's cool with it, right?
I think Jerry's happy that I'm giving this opportunity. I think he's not very happy that I'm leaving his show, because we've been working together for a long time. I think he feels very secure when I'm there.
Well, and like I was mentioning, you got your own show. I mean, I'm not slurping you here, but you're a big part of that show. You're a big part of that. A guy like me will go by that on Channel 50 sometimes and go, oh, I've seen this a million different times, and then you step into action, and I go, hey, yeah, boy, is he going to grab these guys and knock their heads together, or what the hell's going on, and is Jerry going to be okay? And
I like the way they say you're not going to coddle these guests, you're going to tell them what's going on, and the fact is you're going to read them the riot act if they need it, which I'd like to see more of on those shows anyway. Are you looking forward to that?
Well, I mean, that's my personality. My father was in the Army in the Korean War. He was a Chicago police officer for 30 years, so I was raised with that discipline. And, you know, I wasn't coddled growing up. And then when I joined the Marines, I definitely wasn't coddled. So that's just my personality.
What time are they going to run the show, Stevie? I mean, it's a daytime show, right?
It's going to be during the day. Here in Chicago, it's going to be on WGN. It's on Channel 9 and Superstation. So if the Superstation's in your area, it'll be on then. But it'll be syndicated all across the country in different markets.
So Jerry is very jealous of your success.
You know, I wake up every day now since they told me. I've known for about 2 weeks now that I have my own show. And I've been traveling all over, you know, promoting it now. And I wake up, and believe me, I feel like the luckiest man in the world, because, you know, my father was a policeman. I was going to be a policeman. And I actually love being a policeman, But the fact of the matter is, when you're on TV, and if you get your own show, and as long as I've been on TV, it's provided me with, you know, a great life, you know. So I really appreciate it.
You would never go on Dancing with the Stars, would you?
No, I wouldn't, because I don't know how to dance, and I don't even know why anybody watches that show, because it's boring.
When I see you breaking up those fights on the show, it seems to me that the women are a little tougher to handle than the guys. Would you agree with that?
You know, the thing with the women, when guys come on the show, they don't want to look bad when they're emotional or getting into a fight. And guys have a lot of ego, where women don't. Like, if they're fighting over their man, they don't care. They don't care how they look, if they're going to lose, and they just go crazy. So
that's the way it
looks. The women definitely, and you'll be telling them, knock it off now, stop it. And they don't listen.
Stop it. They don't listen.
What is the worst that you've ever seen? I know guys, I've seen guys go to, but I like that Mike brought up the female aspect.
Yeah. Exactly.
What is the worst you've ever seen two chicks tear each other up on that show? I mean, beyond, like, maybe scratching each other with the nails.
We had two girls, two little hillbilly girls, I'd say. and they were both very good-looking girls. I mean, they were not, like, unattractive in any way. And they were fighting over this guy that, you know, most women wouldn't even take a second look at. And they literally were off. We were picking them up off the ground. They were so dug into each other's hair. They were almost bald by the time the show was over.
Wow. Well, and these people, I know you don't produce the show, so you might not be able to answer this question, but you get most of your guests that send in their little requests, right? They send in their stories. I mean, you obviously...
Well, they call into the show.
Right.
They want to be on the show for whatever reason, and then we try to verify it, and we don't have to do a lot of work finding the guy.
All right, Steve, here's the last question I have for you. If you get some ass on your show who's done something, it's like a judge show, and you decide what the punishment is going to be. How does that end up? If I'm on the show and my girlfriend says I'm a big dick, and we yell and scream at each other on the show, and you decide that I'm a big dick, what is the punishment that you dole out?
Well, it's not like a court show. It's not the punishment. It's basically, for me, what we're really dealing with is people that have a problem with somebody that thinks they're a bully, they're a bad guy, and I'm helping them to stand up to the bad guy, even if I have to do it myself.
Ah.
And so what I do is I'm trying to break the bad guy down, and what I want to do is to see the victim and say, hey, do you see the situation you're in? You need to get out of this. This guy doesn't love you. He's treating you bad. And it's the same thing I dealt with when I was a policeman. We would get calls, and the people that called the police would say, yeah, you know, I want my boyfriend locked up. He's a drug dealer. He's a gangbanger. He steals. He does all this stuff. And I said, oh, okay, it was all right as long as things were okay that he was a drug dealer, gangbanger, and doing all these things. But now that you've got problems, now it's a problem and you want to turn him in. So that's the kind of logic I never liked, you know. They know that they were with a bad guy all this time, but now that the bad guy's maybe going with another girl, now all those things are a problem. So, you know, that's what we're trying to get people to see.
Anybody ever just sucker punch you on the Jerry show? I mean,
you know what? When it has happened, it wasn't directed at me. It was directed more at the people they were trying to, you know, that they were in a confrontation that I happened to step in.
How much backup do you have on the Jerry Springer show? How many guys do you have working
for
you?
We have six officers, mm-hmm. Chicago police officers.
Wow. Anybody ever come out of the audience and get into it? I mean, with just a totally unrelated subject comes out of the audience?
The one thing is, and oh my God, we had so much fun with it. Is we had this guy on, and he was just jacked up, and we had my one security guy, name is Tony. If you see the show, you know,
really, I know Tony, sure.
Really good looking Italian kid. You know, just the women love him, and this kid did not like my security guy Tony. So during the Q&A segment where everybody in the audience answers questions, this kid just walked up and Tony wasn't looking, and he punched Tony right in the face. And we have it on tape, and we were playing in my office, slow-mo, and Tony gets so mad, he just starts rushing the stage, he wants to kill the kid, and they burned a copy of my tape in my office, and we're just laughing and laughing, and we're like, hey, look at Tony, look at this guy just blast you in the face.
Tony didn't see it coming, huh?
Oh, you never saw it coming.
Everybody can check out Steve's brand new show this fall. Some of our markets that it's on, besides the WGN, let me see, in Tampa Bay, in Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Raleigh, North Carolina. Check your local listings. And if I'm not mistaken, last thing I want to ask you, didn't I also see you in a really great movie that I think is probably the only guy to see? Pauly Shore is Dead.
Oh, my. So you're the one person that saw that.
I love that. I swear to God, I love that movie. And you were in that, right?
I was in that movie. And the great thing about it is I actually got paid for that movie because when we did it, they didn't know if it was going to make any money, so they asked everybody to do it for free, and that if it made money, we would get paid later. And they actually sent me a check, so I was quite happy about it.
Well, I was amazed with the...
You saw that movie?
Remember? Bart made me see
that. Oh, that's right. Is Pauly Shore in the movie?
Yeah, the whole premise of the movie, I told you.
Is it Pauly Shore is dead?
Pauly Shore fakes his death.
Oh, okay.
To become more popular, and you would be amazed at...
Steve, you ever have the desire to pop Pauly Shore? Give him a, you know, one right across the face?
You know, he's actually very nice to me. I've met him quite a few times on MTV and stuff, and he's, you know, he's really a laid-back guy. He's a really nice guy.
Well, he's the weasel. That's all I can say. He's
the
weasel.
I mean, you know, there's people that I know, like, I've been on David Letterman's show, you know, four or five times doing skits for him with Jerry and stuff, and I've never met the guy once. He's just not a friendly guy, so, you know, and I love watching his show. So it's people like you think that are going to be really nice or whatever, and the weasels turn out to be nice, so you just, you never know with people on TV sometimes.
Okay. I'm telling you, the show's a hit. Can't you tell this guy's got the winning personality?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think it's going to be fantastic.
Steve, good luck with your show. Let's talk after it comes on the air, please.
Thank you very much for having me on.
All right, dude, you got it.
Good luck, Steve.
Bye-bye.
He could be a Tuttle. I swear to God, he could be a Tuttle.
He's got that same kind, the way it pops. He's definitely got the Chicago accent, right, which I love. That's a tough accent.
I just don't take no crap from nobody.
Right. Here's the deal. You're going to straighten up and fly right, or I'm going to smack you right across the mouth.
I just remembered he was in that Pauly Shore movie that my kid made me watch, and Rob...
The audience of two. You and your son watched that Pauly Shore is Dead.
Although I'll tell you, if you have a chance...
Is it a cult college classic?
Mike, I'm not in college. I never went to college.
Right.
I liked it.
But you would not have known about it if your son hadn't hip you to it.
No, I was forced to watch it when I was visiting down at college. We had
Pauly Shore is Dead.
It's good. It's got a ton of cameos. And when I remember that, what were you... Rob was trying to tell me...
Is it as funny as Jury Duty?
Nothing's as funny. Mike, let's go through the Pauly Shore roster.
Yeah, you're probably better at it than I am. Jury Duty.
Son-in-law.
Son-in-law.
In the Army Now.
Oh,
right.
Wow.
Encino Man.
Wow.
Pauly Shore is Dead, and I might be out there.
You're scary of him.
I might be out on that.
That's pretty good.
You bested me within the Army Now.
You've got the filmography.
What is the movie that you were trying to tell me he was in?
I think in Austin Powers 2, he was one of the guards. He was a prison guard. That's a pretty big movie to be in. I mean,
yeah, that says
IMDb.
Here in his bio that he's in Austin Powers.
Oh, all right. Well, there you go. Thank you, Robbie.
He's the bald guy.
The spy who shagged me. He's in that.
Oh, okay. All right. That's Steve. He's the cop. He's got the show. He's only one of our guests today.
He's a tough guy.
Oh, he's a good guy.
I feel like I got not a burp coming up.
You feel like you got solid?
A lump of food there?
Just a moment.
Long week. It's a Friday. Might be there. Do you have a vegetable soup for lunch?
It's a little bile-y, actually.
Really? A little bile?
Yeah.
You want a Pepsi Complete?
No, I don't think so. I just swallowed it right back down.
Good for you. Okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
You know, you burp a lot during the show now. I mean... Have you suppressed those in years past on the air, or do you think you might have the reflux?
I think so, yeah.
You might have the acid reflux?
My doctor tells me that I might have acid reflux.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah. But it's no big deal, because Brett Favre says just 9 pills for 9 days, and you're okay with it.
Yeah.
Right? That's what he sells, right?
Yeah, I think so. A doctor told me recently the Prilosec is good. You can get that. That's good for you. Right. You have that, too, right?
Prevacid.
Is anybody that doesn't have that?
No.
I think everybody's got Robbie.
I don't have that. I got another problem.
He has it at the other end.
When it comes to the digestive system, Rob, I don't think I want any advice from you.
Rob has acid reflux.
That's right.
Not acid reflux. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Yeah, I forgot about Biodome.
Biodome,
okay. And that's got
Groundhog
a bald.
Groundhog Day.
That's got a bald with it.
Yeah, it's a Billy.
No.
No?
Don and Mike Rock.
Thank you, my friend.
It's not Billy Baldwin, Rob?
I think that's Steven in that
Hello?
Stephen Baldwin.
Don and Mike Show.
Hello? Paul Shores and Biodome.
Paul, here they come. Biodome.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Biodome.
Yeah, you forgot about Biodome.
Right. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Biodome.
Yeah, that's it. He was in Biodome.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Biodome.
Yeah, Biodome.
Uh-huh. Now, didn't we go through this yesterday?
Yep.
Everybody?
Yep.
Really, without flipping our wigs here today?
When you see or hear news happening.
Or if it's even better.
Yeah, we got to add to it now, don't we?
If there is an obscure fact that we miss somehow.
Do you know what I'm going to do this weekend? Here's my homework assignment, okay?
Okay.
I'm going to put pen to paper, and I will bring you a disclaimer that is less than three sentences. It should cover everything.
Okay.
And I will have it ready for Dude Walker on Monday.
It's got to cover. Don't call us with something that happens in
news,
the news.
News habit. Don't call us with corrections.
Right. And if we're doing a list,
right.
Don't call us if we miss one of the right. things on the list.
Right. Do not add to their list. It's going to be what I'm going to offer you is something that's similar to the movie Fatso when she's giving him the list of.
She says, "Do eat, do not eat, do eat, do not eat,
do not eat breads, puddings, pastries, or cakes. Do not eat pizza." You know, it's going to be that type of. It's the Don and Mike Show Do Not List.
I like it. And understand, we appreciate all of our listeners, and especially the active ones. And by that, if you call the show, you're known in the industry as an active listener, as opposed to a passive listener, someone who would never call a show.
Right.
But if you hear something like us discussing Pauly Shore movies,
right.
and you think, oh, they forgot Biodome.
They missed one.
Let it go, friend.
Because as you can see, 30 people are going to do the same thing.
Right. Let it go, and I only mention that because we would much rather have you call. If you got a story about Pauly Shore,
yeah, right.
or something that happened to you during a Pauly Shore movie, not just being some dumb asswipe going, oh, Biodome.
You know what would delight us? I'll tell you what would delight us. If somebody had a story about Pauly Shore really being a jerk, that would make us extremely happy. You know, because as much as we know that Letterman's probably a difficult guy, just like Steve said there, you know, we'd like to hear a bad story about Pauly Shore.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike, how y'all doing?
Hi there.
One movie that someone hadn't called in about was a movie.
Class Act? Class Act? Is that what you're going to say?
Yeah, with Kid and Play.
Class Act, right. Uh-huh. Sorry, I forgot it. Did have it, though.
But we haven't come out with a disclaimer yet, so
right.
even though I don't think he should get a free pass.
Well, actually, I should have said Class Act. I did remember that one. Didn't say it.
Uh-huh.
But I'll give him credit because right away. If it's not Biodome, it's Class Act, and there is one other one out there that I am forgetting.
There's another Pauly Shore movie?
I don't want to open it up. John, what is it?
Is it Son-in-Law?
No, I had that one.
Sorry, my bad.
It's The Queen.
That's Son-in-Law and My Bad. That's two.
Hello.
So you're bad for saying My Bad.
Don and Mike Show.
Hey, I know I'm a big fag for knowing this, but he also did a voice in the Goofy movie.
Oh, no.
See, maybe we shouldn't put that in there because that's just kind of unique.
See, but you got to find.
Nobody would have called with that.
You got to find a way to write it that if you say the right thing,
right.
you should call the show.
Yes. I'll be working on that all weekend.
But if you're going to say the wrong thing, don't call the show.
Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
Has it been 24 hours yet?
Has it been 24 hours?
Wait 24 hours and don't call. It's wait 24 hours and don't call. You heard that.
Hello there. Don and Mike Show.
How much is her colon going to weigh?
How much? What did he say?
How much is her colon going to weigh?
Oh, Anna Nicole Smith.
That's
colon?
A funny call.
Start a pool.
You know, I was talking to Carrie this morning. She travels with an entourage just like Elvis. The only thing she needs to travel with is a jeweler. She would be Elvis.
She would. She would indeed.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, guys. Ever forward, I apologize, but I got to know, Don, how do you drink your vanilla vodka?
With a bendy straw. Get out of here, for God's sake. We'll be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Anything to help us identify her?
Lucky for you, like many young ladies your age, she had some surgical work done. Feel these. What do you think?
Implants. Kind of big for my taste, really.
The other end.
Oh, they're for the butt?
Yes.
Implants are serialized. Get an ID from those.
You know, I spent 12 hours on a court bench last week. I could have used a pair of these bad boys. Okay, so I'll run the serials?
Yeah.
I am an aspect.
The
Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe.
No way.
Armed with only their wits and their guns, Don and Mike.
Right. Hello there. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Yeah, I'd like to make a complaint about one of your intros. It says, please call Don and Mike anytime. They're ready to believe you. That's not true anymore.
Right, we're changing that, my friend. We just played it. We're changing it.
It's true.
Okay, then. I just wanted to verify that.
Like anything that's great, including this show, it's ever-evolving.
And going back in time, I remember when we did have a phone solicitor that was about 40 seconds long. Yep. That did have a list of specific complaints we had with our listeners back then. We don't have those anymore, do we?
I'll look. I don't know.
Like that thing that said, don't call with the name game.
Or if you're a really dumb person.
I don't think we've ever been that upfront.
It's a good rule.
Because the really dumb people don't know that they're really dumb.
Yeah, and really dumb person can be entertaining quite often, so I'm not sure.
Right.
Can I make one more comment?
Sure, my friend.
You're going to get mad, but what if Queen
Hold on a second. No, you said, yeah, I have to stop you because you said we're probably going to get mad. Now, before you say what you're going to say, tell us why you think we're probably going to get mad.
I already know because it's a joke. Mm-hmm. It's what if Queen Latifah married
Larry King?
Queen King.
Or King Queen. Or Queen Latifah King.
It would be Queen King. Queen King.
It's better
Queen
than King. Sophia see, marrying Larry
King. See what you made them do?
I'm sorry.
You had it right. You had it right. Queen King.
Uh-huh. Right. Uh-huh. Hey, come on. You broke a prime directive. You know you can't call with stupid jokes.
Queen L. King.
You know, it's Queen Latifah King.
Again,
unless it's her first name and her last name's Latifah.
Are we just rerunning the show that we had yesterday with the guy calling about the Larry King, Sophia Loren?
I had one good thing and then I blew it. I'm sorry. Yeah.
No, it really didn't have one. I guess you did have one good thing. You're right. We should change the intro of the show. You know what I think we can do?
I hate to tell him this, but I am kind of intrigued with the Queen King thing.
What is your first name?
Rob.
Rob?
Oh, no.
Rob.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, maybe we can just change the intro to make it so that specifically you don't call anymore. Yeah. And we said, you know, don't call with the name game. Don't call to correct us on the news. Don't call.
And Rob, you know not to call.
Right. Don't call Rob.
I won't call anymore.
Okay.
Thank you, Rob.
Did you want to quiz him anymore?
No, I'm done. I just was intrigued by that.
And?
Oops, what was that?
Nothing. I was looking for something.
I have always been an enormous fan of... Oh, no, I'm not going to say it. Nope. Yeah. Bad judgment. Yeah. Guard a little down.
Good
not
job.
Sharp. Get your act back in the game, Mike. I was just going to say something that would have screwed the show up for the next 45 minutes to 1 hour.
Are you making a joke?
No.
Some...
I will. You just go ahead, and I'm going to write down what I would have said, and you'll agree with me.
Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Turn your radio down, please.
Okay.
Now continue speaking.
I was wondering if Mike could do the Morgan Freeman impression, actually.
Now, see, there's got to be a reason for it. There's got to be a reason for that. And right now, I simply don't have the time.
He's not a trained monkey, sir.
Yeah.
And also, Mike's got the gribblies in his nose right now.
Right. If I said anything reasonable...
Mike, really, I can't read it because...
Okay.
But you'll agree that this was a good idea not to say this.
If I had said anything like that...
Oh.
I like first...
Hey, no, don't say... Rob got it. No. Rob knew what I was talking about.
Hold on. I like
don't
first...
Read it.
Oh,
don't read it.
I like...
Oh, no.
Jesus. What the hell am I writing it down for? Come on, give it to me, give me... Thank you very much. That's perfectly acceptable.
Because I like...
No, now I'm going to have to explain it.
First, last name combination.
That's not exactly the way I would have phrased it. I wrote it down. I was trying to write it down
fast. That's what you wrote. I like first, last name combination.
I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't write that.
You wrote this
did
down.
Not.
Yes, you
liar,
did.
Liar, pants on fire.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
Don't worry. I don't think it will...
You know what? If I had said something like... I was going to follow up the Queen King
I don't
thing.
Think it will derail the show if you just explain to me what you're talking about.
Okay.
Here. Please.
Okay.
Please.
But now it's not on me anymore.
Right.
Well, Mike, we're going to move on to Honk for Cash later in the show. So,
okay.
So feel no pressure if we get bombarded with calls.
All right, here's the deal. What I was going to say is that Queen King, I'm a big fan of that. And I am. I'm a big fan of the
first last name game. I always say, if so and so married so and so, I love that. And I'm worried that if I had said that, like I just did, that we're going to get, what if so-and-so married so-and-so?
Ella Fitzgerald married Darth Vader, her name would be Elevator.
Elevator. I've always enjoyed that. It's childish. It fits right into my sense of humor.
What if Wayne Newton married Olivia Newton-John? Then her name would be Olivia Newton-John
Newton.
John Newton. I love that, and I always childishly laugh at that. And maybe I shouldn't have said it, because I'm not aware that we've had a lot of great ones over the years with that, but I laugh every time I have them. Even if they're bad, I like them. That's why I kind of liked Queen King.
I don't think it's bad that you threw that out there.
Okay.
And I don't think, frankly, that, at least on this particular day,
yeah,
that this busload of listeners calling the show today,
right?
I don't think that they're able to participate.
Okay.
At the level that you just brought up.
So you don't think I'm in danger of having the show swamped with first-last name combinations?
I would think absolutely the opposite. You know when they'll call with it? On Monday's show. On Monday's show.
You're probably right. You're probably absolutely right. I think that, and I'm not soliciting for that. I'm really not. I just wanted to make it clear. Obviously, you're not as concerned as I was. I stopped myself in mid-sentence because I said, if I do that, that's all we're going to get.
I think that's the snot talking. I think you're fine.
Okay. The snot talking that I overreacted to it?
Yeah, I think you should just throw that
I thought
out
it was
there.
The snot talking that I even thought of saying it.
No.
Yeah. I thought it was the snot talking that, because I was depleted, I was going to say something that was really going to mess the show up.
You did like the guy's Queen King call, though.
Yeah, I did.
She stands alone on that.
And that would be snot-free or loaded with snot.
Huh.
That would, I like that dumb kind of joke. I've always enjoyed that. What if so-and-so married so-and-so?
Well, okay, now you might be laying it on a little thick.
Well, that's because you're the one that wanted me to explain it.
No, but now when you say I've always liked that, now you are really encouraging people to put on their thinking caps and come up with the ones, and I know that they will just end up pissing you off. And
D-I-I-D, D-I-I-D then. Okay, I mean, that's just the way it is. You know? Damned if I do, damned if I don't. That's it. That's fine. I can accept that.
I didn't even
want to go there, girlfriend.
You explained it, and then now I think that you've over-explained it. Well, let's see what happens.
Okay.
Let's
all right.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
You sound like Alan Funk.
Hello, Don and Mike. Hello.
Yes, this is Rush Limbaugh.
Okay.
All right. Obviously, it wasn't affecting him.
Hi there, Don and Mike show.
Fellas, I am not calling about anything that happened 24 hours ago.
Good, thank you.
Someone has to do it for you.
Is that all you're calling to say?
Yes, because we're killing you. Bad callers are killing Dynamite.
No, but you're killing us, too.
That's a horrible call. What do we do with that?
This didn't help.
You're killing us, too.
And it's not original because somebody had kind of a variable of that call.
That's like going to someone who's just had their legs blown off of like a WW2 and going, God damn. You're not going to walk again.
Wow. Yeah. How do you make pudding out of that?
Hello. Don is my show. Well, I'm just being obvious.
Right.
You're not going to walk. I mean, everybody else has told you that, but I just want to say, you're not going to walk.
And instead of being obvious, or the great one would say, I'm just being honest.
Mm-hmm. Hello, Don and Mike. Your legs are blown off.
Right.
Everyone's
hello.
Thinking it.
Hello,
good
Don
afternoon.
Don and Mike.
Good afternoon.
How do ye?
I'm good. Hey, what about if Larry King was gay and he moved to Vermont and he met Prince? How would that work?
I don't know. How would that work?
I don't know. That's for you to figure out.
No, you got to give us the punchline.
What's the joke?
If they got married in Vermont, then it would be Prince King, right. Or would it be
I feel
with
so
Larry Prince?
Now, okay, now he's doing a royalty thing with you.
Right? I feel Prince King. I feel somehow responsible.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, yeah, I was calling about yesterday. You're asking why team like that was going to keep him sloppy.
Is there some sort of sunspot issue with the cell phones
only
today?
Only with the listeners.
We were asking what yesterday about C-Mart?
Why their ads are so cheap and floppy?
I don't think we ever asked that.
I think you're
just giving us a setup for another bad joke, I bet.
Well, basically the answer is they're acidic.
Basically the answer is you've got to go somewhere where your cell phone can be heard.
Did you say they're acidic?
I think he said Hasidic.
Hasidic? Hasids.
Hasids.
You know
Hasids.
Frommies.
You know what acidics are, right?
Yeah, sure, right, yeah, right. So what does that have to do with C? I thought C meant, like, the bad word you call a woman.
No, see, I don't know. That's their ads. You're asking why they're all scrawled and cheap and sloppy?
No, we never brought that up.
We never mentioned anything about C-Mart's being anything except clean as a whistle. I mean, we never mentioned that.
That was just the only thing Don told me.
No, their ads are like cryptic. Like, you can barely read them.
I didn't say sloppy. I said they're very hard to figure out what exactly it was like. I said cryptic.
You know, they look like a doctor wrote them.
No.
What show were you listening to yesterday when we were discussing C-Mart? Were you listening to our show yesterday?
I think so. You were talking about some new opening C-Mart recently or something like that.
And are you going like all this way to get your anti-Semitic comment in there? Is that what it is?
That they're owned by
the... No, it's just a point of fact. It's cheap and sloppy. They're selling over.
And I got you. But then how come they don't call it J-Mart? Why don't you just get right to it? Why don't they call it Jew-Mart?
And aren't you late for your Klan meeting, sir?
Isn't that really the point you were trying to get to? Why don't they call it Jew Mart?
No question.
Then why would you mention? Hold on a second.
Because see, you used something we didn't say to set up your little premise, just to cram in there.
The ads were impossible to read.
Even if Mike said yesterday,
I said they were cryptic. Which cryptic? I don't have a dictionary in front of me, but what it is they really don't come out and tell you what exactly it's all about.
Hard to understand.
They're holding back information from you a little bit. They're kind of difficult to decipher. I didn't say they were sloppy.
And you interpreted that as.
And I certainly didn't say they were cheap.
You said it's Hasidic.
Well, it is cheap. If you're going to take a pencil out and draw it yourself, you don't have to pay someone to
do the
work.
I didn't think the commercials looked like that at all.
We didn't get that impression.
I thought what they were was they were difficult to, you know, it was a very, it's kind of a mysterious commercial.
They never know what they're going to have there. They're buying overstock.
What does that have to do with Hasidic Jews?
Not the best brand names.
What? Hey, hold on, please. What does that have to do with Hasidic Jews?
Basically, they're doing overstock. It's like New York City.
Hold on a second. Wait. How do you come by your information, sir?
I'm related to him.
What?
Hello? I'm related to him.
You're related to who?
You're related to who?
The C-Mart folks.
So are you Jewish?
Yes, sir.
So are you making...
He's not Jewish. You're so not Jewish.
Bar mitzvah 13.
So you're slamming Hasidic Jews?
No, they're ads. They're cheap. They don't pay someone to type them up. They draw them up with a pencil.
Speak Hebrew to us. Prove your Jewness to us.
Well, you find me a cute girl, and I'll show her all the action.
I find you to be a Gentile.
I think you're faking it.
I believe you're a Protestant.
And I believe you have a very deep agenda. You have a very serious agenda.
You might be a Baptist.
Is it because they're different? It's because
I'm working on dinner with Jerry Falwell.
Oh God, I hate you so much.
Yeah.
You're not a Jew.
Not a chance, right? I'm honest to God Jewish. Bar mitzvah 13.
And then why are you calling up to slam C-Mart because they're owned by Hasidic
Jews? I'm slamming. I'm just saying the ad.
You're slamming them. You just did. Don't lie about something you said 2 minutes ago.
They're cheap ads. They're drawn with a pencil.
They're cheap ads. Hold on, please. They're cheap ads drawn with a pencil, and then you link that to their cheap ads drawn with a pencil because the company is owned by Hasidic Jews.
Hence the big stereotype we have heard. Rob talks about it every day. That it's the cheap and the Jew thing put together. You're the one that brought that up.
And we were working on a stereotype that everybody loves, that the C mark means C word.
Exactly.
The C word. If you like old ladies, that's great for
you. Explain yourself.
It's very much like the New York discounters. They're running cheap ads.
Why is this
like
bothering you?
Like 7th Street, you know, photos, stuff like that stuff. They cram as much as they can in.
Did you lose a job? Was there some transaction that went wrong? Why? You got an agenda, but you're not owning up to it.
Are you one of those guys that thinks the Holocaust didn't happen?
Oh, I totally believe it happened.
Then why are you tying this thing together? We're just trying to get you to explain yourself.
I'm explaining to you. They're like,
no, you haven't.
7th Street, like New York, like the discounters. They're running the same. They're running cheap ads.
Let me just see if I understand. Are you saying that they're doing the same thing as the Jew merchants in New York?
To an extent, yeah.
See, now I'm speaking his language. Now I understand.
He got that. That got right through the way you put that.
The Jew merchants in New York. They're doing the same thing in Baltimore and D.C. as the Jew merchants in New York are. Excuse me, in Jew York.
Why the agenda, sir?
There
is no agenda. I'm just pointing out that they're mimicking.
Oh, there is always, you know, one thing. Let me explain. There is always an agenda.
I'll see you in New Jersey.
What's that?
What's that?
And here's a shout out to our brand new affiliate, Albuquerque, New Mexico. Come on, my friend. What's your problem, dude?
Come on. Live and let live.
Come on. Oh, yeah. I believe the live and let live.
No, you don't.
They're trying to mimic.
No, you're lying. You're lying to yourself.
I'm lying to myself. What? That they're not creating a unique business plan.
Right, I sure hope that cop's after you.
All right. Listen, thanks for the call. Have a good weekend.
And then his name is Stein. Officer Stein.
Take care, Mel. Mel Gibson calling in, ladies and gentlemen.
Bye-bye.
There he goes. Bye-bye. You know, it's amazing. I didn't hear a trace of an Australian accent.
Andy. Andy. Hello. Not a Mike show. Hello.
Hey.
That would be a good DJ name for you,
Andy Semite.
Andy Semite with you. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Am I on?
Yeah.
Hey, what's going on? You know why everyone's so mad at the Jews? Because they killed Jesus.
Oh, my God. Always nice to have a piggyback call.
Hello, Don.
Mel Gibson's father calling in.
Don and Mike show.
I've got a name for your list.
Oh, here you go. Okay, yeah. Super.
Yeah, the list that you're making there, but when I say it, you're
right. Wait, hold on a second.
You.
What list are we making, Don?
That's the list you're
the
making,
list
Michael.
The
Mike O'Mara list of funny names.
That didn't take long, did it?
No, the list of things not to say on the show.
Ah, the Jew England Patriots. I love that team.
When I say it, you're going to hang up on me because it contains one of the phrases that you do not allow.
Then don't say it.
The what?
The what not to do list.
Oh. For God's sakes. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
He was so proud of that.
Hello.
He was.
Hello.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, I was Pauly Shore's lover with during Encino Man, and Brendan Fraser is smaller than Pauly Shore.
All right, thank you, my friend.
Good info.
Now, see, that is an informative call.
Inside info. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Real inside.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi.
Hey, guys.
Inside.
Yeah, that C-Mark caller, you know, he was good in the beginning, but then he just kind of went crazy.
he built some good roads. All right, let's stop right there for a second, but let's come back. Let's come back in a moment, Mike.
Very good. Let's do.
Because if Lucille, God, there used to be something about Lucille Ball. I remember it used to be something about if she married, it would be
Is it something to do with Harry?
Yeah.
Harry Carey married Lucille Ball.
Harry Ball, but that's really not how it works.
It's got to be the man's name.
Yeah, I know.
That's where the difficulty lies in this.
No, don't blame me, Mike. Blame the Jews.
Blame the Jews.
Just like that guy that called about C-Mart. Yeah,
right.
After him.
That's how they do it in New York, Mike.
Yes, we want to thank Andy Semite for calling in.
One more. Last call in this break. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike, how you doing?
Come on, make it happen.
What if Linda Lavin married Tom Gavin?
All right. Lavin, no, don't eject. You're good.
Linda Lavin Gavin,
right?
I'm sorry.
I had no business laughing at that.
No, yes, you do.
I do.
Yes, you do.
Thank you, sir.
That's good.
I appreciate that.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Robbie.
Yes.
This Fox News outtake, did this make it on the air?
This did air. Joe was the one who found it, but we had to bleep the best part, the stuff that didn't go on the air.
This is from a Fox station somewhere doing the news, doing one of those teases where they break in and listen to the weather guy drop the F-bomb.
Tonight at 10 on News Channel 2 on Fox.
I'm Don Shiffman. Coming up next, a devastating fire in East Utica. Now three business owners are left trying to decide if they'll rebuild. Matt?
It looks like our weather will get warmer over the next couple of days, but we have to go through a few snow showers first. Your complete forecast, all today's news, straight ahead in the Fox Live and News. Team of the whore.
The Don and Mike Show.
Wow.
What are these guys? Tonight on the Fox News effing, what did he say?
It was a word that sounds like Fox, I think, and I think there was a mother in there.
And I think he just said three bad words. One nice word in between two bad words.
Sometimes they edit stuff together into that piece and they don't listen to it in advance.
All right, well, there you go.
Blindly follow Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
All right. Listen, Frank Caliendo is going to be on the show in a couple of seconds. Our friend Frank Caliendo. A couple of things that I want to mention to him. He's going to be on Letterman tonight. I imagine doing his John Madden thing again.
He's back for Madden.
Two things about Frank when we get him on the show here in a couple of seconds. First, when I was talking to my buddy that was down at the Super Bowl that got us all that good Super Bowl stuff, he said that, because he's a guy that's in media, kind of, that Jim Rome is really pissed at Frank Caliendo.
He does that spot-on impression of him.
Right. Now, why would you be mad that the guys, you know, I mean, who knows Jim Rome, really, outside of sports radio listeners, and Frank gives him all kinds of publicity. Anyway, so we'll ask him about that. And the other thing that I want to ask Frank about is, Rob was telling me, I think this is a super secret, but who cares, that when Frank Caliendo's on the Letterman show tonight, the one that airs tonight was taped on Monday night.
Okay.
Now, I guess that's not unusual to tape a show and, like, time shift it, but why wouldn't you not want to come on tonight with, like, Anna Nicole Smith material?
Right.
If you're watching Letterman and Leno, wouldn't you think it's odd if you turned on Letterman and he just came out and he did, like, ooh, it's so cold, you know, the squirrels were licking their nuts today in Central Park, and if he didn't make one mention, which obviously he will not make an end.
Well, when was he on with Madden last time? Wasn't that within the month?
Right before the Super Bowl. He had Caliendo on right before the Super Bowl, and he said at the end of that bit with Caliendo, he said, we'll have you back after the Super
Bowl. Gotcha, okay.
So
he's going to come on tonight just doing the Madden thing.
Just as Madden. We'll ask him when we talk to him in a couple of seconds.
All right. Yeah.
But I was curious about how...
Well, that's Letterman's schedule, right? I mean, he takes his Fridays off.
Right. Yeah, but why would you tape a show on Monday? Aren't you really rolling the dice that and this has to be like the worst-case scenario, that a huge news story would happen, and that you don't even make mention of it?
Well, it's Letterman.
I know, but stupid Leno's going to have stuff about it. And
stupid Letterman doesn't take a day off.
No, stupid Letterman does take days
no,
off.
No, stupid Leno doesn't take it.
Oh,
I said stupid Leno doesn't take a day off.
I didn't understand you. I'm sorry.
Leno doesn't take a day off ever.
Right.
Letterman has that deal, and I mean, he's perfectly aware that will be stuff that comes up.
Stop me for one second. Stop me for one second. Let me stop you for one second. I'm surprised, and I know that they've let Letterman do this time-shifting thing with the taping of the shows.
You mean, do you think he should have come in and done a show, or...?
I'm just surprised they let him do it now during the sweeps.
Right.
Now is when they have their important semi-annual ratings out,
right.
And not that anyone's going to turn on Letterman tonight and go, oh, he's not making jokes about Anna Nicole Smith, I'm going to turn the show off. I'm just curious how you put something that is that dated on the air during the most important time of the year.
Right. Okay.
The thing that surprised me is we always knew he took Fridays off, but my understanding was tape two shows on Thursday.
Right.
So you're never more than a day out. I mean, you know, 5 days in advance, that's quite a bit.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to ask Frank about that.
And don't get me wrong, I don't imagine you could turn on NBC tonight and Jay Leno's going to be doing side-splitting bits about Anna Nicole Smith.
No, right.
Now Jimmy Kimmel might.
Yes. Yeah. Jimmy Kimmel might go there. It's kind of tough right now. You know, they have a longer shelf life, you know, on those shows than we do.
But at the very least, would you expect Letterman, if he didn't have a joke about it, when he came and sat down at the desk, he'd say, yeah, he would at least address the fact that everybody is talking about...
Who's smelling my belly button?
I would think that that type of thing would lend itself more towards a national tragedy of some magnitude, as opposed to the death of... Anna Nicole Smith.
Well, it lends itself towards being goofy, and he's going to miss the boat on that one.
Right.
Then you've got the other side of the spectrum. Rosie O'Donnell, not a big fan of Rosie O'Donnell, but here's something she did I don't think she should apologize for.
Okay.
All the Donald Trump stuff, she's just a big smelly cow. All the stuff with Barbara Walters, she's a big smelly cow. Yesterday, she got on the air on The View and said before Anna Nicole Smith croaked that she was sick of hearing about Anna Nicole Smith. I happen to agree with Rosie O'Donnell.
Yeah. Right.
Turns out, bad timing for her, Anna Nicole Smith dies 3 hours later.
Right.
Now they want Rosie O'Donnell to apologize for saying that she was sick of her yesterday.
Oh, give me a break.
Here is, do we have that one, Robbie? Hold on. Number 21. Here's Rosie yesterday. Before she died.
Big things going on in the news, and if I have to see Anna Nicole Smith one more time on television, that woman and her fraternity says that she can hardly even speak now. She's like, it's something that she can't even speak. She's like, it's a tragedy all around. Her son died, she has this little baby, there's obviously some kind of medication or substance involved. I don't know.
All right, so that's what they wanted to apologize
that
for.
That is an innocuous comment. It means nothing.
Right. And who does she apologize to?
She had to get on TV today.
She did apologize?
She said, quote, blah, blah, blah. It's so sad. It's unbearably tragic. That poor little baby. She had to read a statement at the beginning of the View show today.
Wow, they are very uptight at the View.
Ain't that something?
They are very, very uptight at the
Ain't
View.
Ain't that something? And then there's something else people are pissed off about now. The commercial during the Super Bowl, I'm glad I remembered to mention this, the one that had the robot on the assembly line for GM,
right,
where he goes to the cliff and he's, I can't do it anymore because I'm being outdated or whatever was happening. Well, of course now, there is a group of people that are outraged about that commercial.
Oh, God.
A fake commercial.
Wow.
Hold on, I've got it right here. The New York-based American Foundation for Suicide Prevention says that they've received over 200 emails complaining about the ad.
Oh, my God.
Now, they want General Motors to pull the ad from the website.
Uh-huh.
They want it off YouTube, and they want to apologize. And I want to say right now, I am glad to drive a GM product, because unlike the pussies at Snickers,
right?
You know what GM told these people?
What?
Go jump off a cliff.
Amen.
They're not pulling the ad.
Give me a break.
And it was a stupid
television commercial.
It was a stupid ad to begin with.
And if that is the type, and seriously, if watching that commercial is something that pushes you off the edge, then I truly believe, you know, you're. What is that? Is there? Are they saying that it trivializes suicide? Is that what it is?
Hold on a second.
You know, that would take every time there's been a suicide scene in a movie, a play, a commercial, or anything.
Right.
You'd have to take it out of there.
They're upset about a robot having a nightmare about suicide. Blah blah blah. They want to apologize. They want apologies because it is insensitive. And we're worried about this.
It's a machine.
We are. Someone is.
The guy from GM, I love this. Thank you, Robbie, for pulling this quote. The guy from GM says, quote, the vice president of GM, it's a dream sequence. It's not a person.
Mm-hmm.
It's a CGI robot. This is a fantasy. I mean, a robot doesn't move around. Come on. That's
exactly
the guy, that's the guy's right. statement. More power to him. Come on.
Exactly.
Come on. What the frig is wrong with people?
Hello, Don and Mike show.
What if Ivana Trump married Kenneth Lay?
Ivana Lay. That work for you, Mike?
Yeah, I like that one.
But if she divorced Kenneth Lay and then married Howard Hughes,
Ivana Lay Hughes.
Well, that's working for Mike.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I'm the only one. Sorry.
You made a friend.
I'm sorry.
Hello, this is not the pursuit.
I'm really not sorry, though.
For Mike, this is the pursuit of happiness. For me, this is the pursuit of crappiness. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello. Hello. You're on the air.
Hey, I agree that you shouldn't have to have Rosie make the apology, but what's with the Washington Post having a big story on the front page? That's not news. People dying in Iraq is news.
A lot of people feel the same way you do, sir.
My friend, you're preaching to the choir. Although somebody mentioned to me today, not even somebody, but they said, well, it was below the fold. Huh. Maybe it wasn't on the...
Oh, is that criteria?
It wasn't on the very top of the page.
Justification of it. Above the fold in USA Today.
Hello, Don and Mike, the nation's newspaper. The
hey, nation's guys. Newspaper. What if Puss in Boots married Mary C's?
Mary who?
Mary C's, the candy lady.
S-E-E-S.
C's. Puss in Boots. Puss in Boosies.
I'm really, really sorry now.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
I'm getting more sorry by the minute. As I predicted I would be.
Yes,
I
know. Hello there.
Buenos dias, Don and Mike.
Howdy. Hola, what's up?
I call from the land of enchantment, but I must tell you, my name is Ricardo. I spend much time riding my bare-backed donkey Enrique into town to listen to your show. I have no time to pick food in the field. Gracias, Don and Mike. Vaya con Dios.
Vaya con Dios.
Thank you, my friend.
Was that a Twinkie?
It was a very... No, I don't believe so.
Let's meet in Albuquerque. Hello, Don and Mike show.
He was a corn-based product.
Hello?
Hey, Don.
Yeah, and Mike. We're both here.
And Mike. Sorry about that. Not that this has any good timing, but when I used to live up in New York about 4 years ago, it was Thursdays when Letterman shot the double shows.
Yeah, I think we had heard that. Right. I think we had heard that before. What I thought was interesting was that, you know, he did it on a Monday.
Mm-hmm.
How do you go on today and do a show?
But don't you see, I think that really if it was like a major disaster or was something where he needed to come on, he'd probably come in and do it today.
But isn't isn't it being played out in America like it is some type of freaking disaster?
Yeah, that's what's stupid about
played,
it.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't he going to be, like, missing the boat? Oh, last night on Nancy Grace.
Unless he wanted to come in and make a joke about the fact that it's a national disaster.
And what if they just, like, edited in a joke? If it was an obvious edit, like he's wearing his, like, at-home clothes.
Right.
When he's standing in front of a giant archery.
Do you feel that
target?
Letterman is ripping us off by not doing that, not taping a show on Friday?
You know, one thing they could have done is shot a second monologue today and replaced the one they taped Monday with the one they shot today and run that.
Well, are they taping today?
Yesterday. I mean, it taped yesterday, today, Thursday, Friday.
Yeah, you know, that's what Bob Hope used to do for his specials. He would shoot the monologue the day before the special.
I think it's a challenge for a guy to tape a show. Regis's old show, way back in Los Angeles, he would tape 2 weeks before it would air. And he wasn't able to be up to the challenge, so they fired him. At least that's what he said the other day.
Wow.
That's what he was talking about, his first getting fired out in L.A.
I did a show that was taped 2 weeks in advance of the broadcast date, and I never could get used to it. I couldn't handle it. I had to talk about the issues of the day. So last night on Nancy Grace, I flipped by, and, you know, she's got, on Nancy Grace, she's in one box, and then there's another chick that's arguing with her in another box.
Most parodied woman on television now, too.
And on the bottom of the screen where they have the topic,
right.
What I love about Nancy Grace is it's like when someone sends you an email and they're yelling at you, and it's all in caps.
Yeah.
Her topic is all in caps, and it has exclamation points afterwards, and it says, Anna Nicole Smith, dead, and then four exclamation points.
Really
four. Do you know how pathetic my TV viewing was last night? I was watching E! Entertainment television. It gets worse with the true story of Christina Aguilera. And they would break in occasionally with this reporter who appeared to be 11 years old. And he was giving updates. He said, we have breaking news. And his breaking news, I swear to God, was something that had come across the wire like 3 hours ago. And he was muddling his way through it, trying to explain what had happened. He's giving wrong times and everything. He said, we will be back with our special at 10 o'clock tonight on Anna Nicole. And it's, you know, a life of tragedy or something like that. It was ridiculous.
An overweight Anna Nicole Smith.
And Mike, I got one for you.
Yes.
What if Nancy Grace married Jim Nance?
She would be Nancy Grace Nance.
Nancy Nance.
Nancy Nance.
Nancy Nance.
Nancy Nance.
Nancy Nance. Not good. Sorry. Hello, Donna Mike Show.
I like the attempt. Don't patronize me.
I'm not. Hello, Donna Mike Show. That's like a retarded boy going up to make a layup.
That was good.
And I'm doing it underhand, and it bounces off. Good.
That's hard to do.
Good.
It's hard to come up with those.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
And think about the show at the same time.
Hello. Come on. Are you there? Oh, you're killing me. Hello. Donna Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, what if Marvin Gaye married Ed Lover?
Gay Lover.
That doesn't work.
No.
Marvin Gaye Lover, come on.
What if Rabé married fictitious character Ricky Bobby? Then he would be Rabé Bobby. Thank you.
Rabé Bobby.
You know, I spent him on Halloween? Bobby Bobby Boo.
Hello. Don and Mike Show, hello.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay.
Hey, why don't they just have that GM commercial? Why don't you just unplug the machine?
Okay, thank you. That's not bad. That's not bad, my friend. Oh, one more item. Rob, where's the Dakota Fanning thing? Got it. Okay, hold on a second.
Hot.
I am saying, yeah, she's, of course, still guilty of being hot. This, to me, is a sign that it might be over for Dakota Fanning.
Okay.
Already. And now, guys, don't go down the pedophile route with me. I'm not kidding about this time. She had the role where she was going to be raped, right?
Yeah, right.
And that movie got deep sick because nobody was interested in seeing that.
Okay.
And the thought is, what is going to be the next move for Dakota Fanning?
Right.
Because she's in that weird tweener spot,
yeah,
where she can't play a little girl anymore, and we're not ready for her to play a woman, young woman who's been victimized. Dakota Fanning is now going to play a retard.
Okay.
This is like giving up way too early in a career.
Mm-hmm.
She should not be doing her first retard movie until she's at least in her mid-20s.
Yes.
She's how old
taking
is she?
On the challenging role.
She 11, 13?
She?
I think she's 12 or 13.
She's 12, and they've already moved her on to the retard role. As you know, in Hollywood, the lore of Hollywood is once you think you've proven everything that you have to prove,
yes,
you show everybody what you're really about by either one of two ways. If you're a woman, You either do a role where you don't wear any makeup,
right,
to show that you're beautiful inside.
A la Charlize Theron and Monster.
Yes, and if you're a man, mm-hmm, you play a retard like Sean Penn
or Tom Hanks, right,
and it immediately opens up the floodgates with people saying you're incredibly talented.
So you're saying too early for Dakota.
My gosh. I mean, you mean to tell me that she's going to go from being in War of the Worlds,
yep,
to Charlotte's Web,
mm-hmm,
and then the next step is a retard movie?
Mm-hmm.
Please, even I would manage the girl's career better than
she's,
that.
She seems to be making these choices.
And
I'm not sure if she's doing it herself or whether she's got management.
Don't forget the rape speed bump that was in.
Yes, and that was that was at Sundance, right?
Right.
That was at,
right.
Is that going to go wide? Are they going to release it? They're
wide. Wide rated. No, no one wanted it.
They're killing it.
No one wanted the freaking movie.
Wow.
You know,
back it.
So imagine that. You're her backer. And she's a really talented, goddamn little girl.
You know, she's not old enough to, but what if she married, Peyton Manning? She'd be Dakota Fanning Manning.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I think she'll be an outstanding retard. I truly do.
It's a transition.
I am so, so sorry.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I keep apologizing.
Hello.
Hi. Hi, it's you.
Don and Mike Show, you're on the air.
Greetings from Chico, California. Robbie, Bobby, Buzz,
Boo,
and Mike.
Say hi to the man for us in Chico. What's happening?
Hey, I appreciate it. Hey, just to get back to you on that Letterman taping, I did see a couple tapings this year. And, yeah, they do them back-to-back on Monday. It makes no sense, but he's not likely to drive in from Connecticut for any reason on a Friday.
Yeah.
We're talking about David Letterman.
That's what I was saying before. You know, it's just Letterman. It's his thing. And he'd be like, you know, you'd walk up to him and say that and say, why am I going to do this? And he'd look at you and go, hey, Paul, why? And he'd just glare at you. And
don't you think you'd be able to get him if you said, well, Leto's on tonight?
No.
You don't think so?
No, he knows that. He's getting, you know, he's got suitcases of cash. He doesn't care.
He can't do the show tonight. He's having dinner with Steve the Bodyguard from Springer.
Suck on that, losers.
All right.
His close personal friend.
We'll discuss it with Frank Caliendo when we come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
All right, here's our buddy Frank Caliendo on Letterman before the Super Bowl.
Well, the big stage is set. It's going to be the Bears and it's going to be the Colts. And I think you predicted the Bears and the Colts. Am I right about that, Joe?
Yeah, I mean, last time I was here, I said, hey, the Bears are going to play the Colts for a battle in Gary, Indiana. And, you know,
yeah.
And I thought, that's what they do.
Right.
I soothsay, or I look into the future, soothsaying, and I take a look, and I said, hey, that's why I eat, I drink, I sleep football. I mean, sleeping football, that's pretty good. Eating, that's just like drinking football. I don't even know how you do that. I mean, unless you got a football mug, I mean, you got a mug that looks like a football, you got a little thing on the side, and then boom, you bring it back. Hey, I'm drinking football,
Just set it and forget it.
Right.
The Don and Mike Show.
That's Frank Caliendo. Which line is Frank on, Robbie?
You got
that one right there? Okay. You know, Letterman doesn't even give him credit now as being Frank Caliendo.
No.
He just says John Madden is here.
Right. And he's going to be on tonight, right?
Right, the tape appearance. Well, here now is Frank Caliendo. Hey, Frank.
Hi, Frank. How are you guys?
Hey, dude, long time no speak, and good to hear you. Happy New Year and all that jazz.
Yeah, and also with you, Father.
When you were when you were on Letterman the last time, we just played the clip before the Super Bowl doing your Madden thing. He didn't even give you at the end of the show, like the tip of the hat, like, thanks to Frank Caliendo. He just said at the end of the show, thanks to John Madden for being on the show.
Yeah, they're kind of treating me like a cast member now. Uh-huh. It's not even like I'm a guest anymore. It's kind of like I'm just on the show.
So the appearance tonight is going to be the same thing where you're going to be John Madden, and it's not going to be there's not going to be a mention of you. Talented impressionist Frank Caliendo.
No, it'll just be pretending that I'm John Madden talking about the Super Bowl and Peyton Farthing. And he says, "Why? What are you talking about, Peyton Farthing? I mean, he's just that good." Anyway, thanks.
You know, I am filled with so many questions about this. When you get done, does he ever just lean over to you and say, "Hey, Frank, thanks so much," or is it just, "Hey, thank you"? Or I mean,
he'll make a point to say, "Funny stuff, great job, kid."
And great job, kid.
That's enough.
Oh my God!
Here's what I noticed when you were on Letterman last time. I don't know if it was a way of like making it so John Madden is not pissed. Letterman was holding up the Madden game.
Yeah,
right?
He promoted the video game.
Now I don't think that anyone from EA Sports.
Do you think they're doing that just to cover?
I don't know. I wanted to ask, Brian. Do you have any idea about that?
I think they're just pretending like it's actually John Madden. So
that is weird.
That's what they say is, like, when I come on there, they're like, we're just going to pretend it's John Madden. Just to, you know, there are people in that crowd that left. Some of the producers were telling me, going, man, John Madden looks different in person than he does in TV.
Oh, my God.
People are not always getting it, but it's kind of the joke, and it's the silliness of it. And, you know, he promoted a video game. And I was like, yeah, that's a pretty good video game. It's my favorite video game. Of course, I do like, you know, it's doing okay, Dave. It's not doing that great, which I'd like people to buy. But I, you know, I love, you know, Grand Theft Auto. That's my favorite. Boom, I just shot a hooker. You know?
And Frank, when you were at the Super Bowl, I heard from more than one friend of mine in the radio business that, you know, the Frank Caliendo that we used to know.
Yes.
He is now uber whore to all these radio stations.
Right. Oh, I've always been.
And more power to you, but you're whoring yourself out like crazy. But one of the things I heard, because you were on all kinds of shows at the Super Bowl, you know, people network and talk on radio, guy called me up and said, hey, there's a whole big thing down here with Frank Caliendo that Jim Rome is pissed at Frank Caliendo.
I didn't hear, is he?
Well, no, I was going to ask you if you had heard that, because I don't know how a guy could be anything but absolutely 1,000% in your debt that you riff on him on Fox NFL.
Yeah, and he's a radio guy, really, primarily, and I would be flattered.
So is that true, or was that just some radio guys jerking my chain?
The only thing I've ever heard from Rome is that they asked him if he liked it, and he said, no comment.
No comment
on that guy.
So he really doesn't dig it.
I don't know. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe he hates it. Maybe he just, his persona hates it. You know, because, you know, his whole thing is he's above his callers and stuff like that. So maybe that's just what it is. You know, if I let people think that I have some kind of problem with it, or do not have a problem with this, maybe they'll think that I'm lesser of a guy than I am. And I'm definitely a guy.
How hard did you have to work it at the Super Bowl? Because we know that situation. You walk into a room, it's like 8,000 smelly, fat, pimply disc jockeys.
How many times did you do Madden on Radio Row?
Oh, a million. I mean, I go in there and see. I went in for 2 hours and I came out 5 hours later. But you know, it's cool because you can talk to so many people. A lot of them are friends and stuff like that, and I get to talk to people and people that I didn't. You know, you guys are one of the rare calls that I've made throughout the football season. A lot of times, I didn't have the time to do it. I try and do it, and then I'd have to be somewhere. So there are a lot of people I couldn't, you know, call during football season. So I get there, and it kind of is like a makeup a little bit. And, you know, believe me, I have always been like that.
Here's a guy who's explaining himself to have always been a whore.
You know, I want to get back
but
for a minute. I want to get
Frank, you're a better whore than you are. I didn't mean that as a put-down. I meant
only in the best possible way.
When you used to whore yourself, it used to be with schmucks like us. Now you're whoring yourself on a national basis.
Well, the funny thing was that tons of people, like, I would walk in there, and it would take them a double take, and then all of a sudden, they were all over me. Like, they realized who I was,
right?
And they just thought I'd be taller. So.
You know, this is getting deep into the mind of Frank Caliendo. It's kind of an impressionist question here, because when you go on that show, is there just a tiny bit of emptiness when you get done doing that on Letterman and he says, thanks, kid, and you get the credit for being John Madden? You've done this amazing impression, the best impression I think I've ever heard of any celebrity, and you get done and there you are, it's John Madden, and you're leaving the theater going, you know, does anybody really appreciate me? Does it feel that way on any level?
I think there's a little bit of that. I mean, at the same time, I've been on Letterman 6 times in 13 months.
That's a good thing.
So that's the cool thing. But you do, like, I always try to get 2 handshakes from Dave just to believe it's real. Like, he gives me one on camera, and I always try to get one. And he had a cold this time. He's had a cold the last 2 times. Right. And I tried to get the second handshake, and he went, I got the little, so I didn't get the second handshake.
It's like we were talking about this. Oh, you know, it's
just... Before you go, can I just say this? I hear from the people there that he loves it so much that it's just, you know, he's really having me on for him, which
right.
is very cool.
That's
so,
the biggest thing.
To me, I don't care if he doesn't talk. If I can make Letterman laugh, that to me is huge.
You know, even in the beginning of the show when they say who's coming on, they just put the name up there, John Madden. They don't even goof about it now.
Now they even put it on the website, just John Madden. They used to put my name on the website coming up, Frank Caliendo as John Madden and all that. Now it's just John Madden's everywhere.
You know, there's no way you can look at it, really, other than a compliment. It really is. I mean, it's a compliment to what you do and the way you do that impression.
Well, I'm guessing that Madden's people probably don't want to draw any attention and give me a radio story that, you know, or I can, like, since I'm talking to you now about the after or before an appearance, where I can say, yeah, they made Letterman stop using John Madden's name and stuff like that. Yeah. So I'm sure they're just trying to stay out of it, so they don't get anything from
and
me.
And I forgot, we've had you on a bunch of times, but I forgot, the way he receives it, good, bad, indifferent.
Hates you. Yeah, I think it started when I was on with Kimmel, and Kimmel took a pair of hedge clippers to the Madden eyebrows.
Yeah.
It's just funny that he hates you. That makes it funnier to me.
And for a while, didn't they, like, handcuff you on Fox doing that? I know you did it on the Fox show a couple of times this year.
Well, I would get written up in newspapers as, like, the evil of football. And how I was the slow destruction of the football and its, hardiness to America or whatever. And but now the funny thing is all those writers, most of them are like on my site. Richard Sandomir from the New York Times actually wrote a big column about me a couple of weeks ago. He actually came to Letterman with me and watched it. A couple of years ago when he wrote the thing, I was doing Cheesesteak Angels with Madden on the ground. I'm making Cheesesteak Angels! And on Letterman last time I pulled a chicken leg out.
Oh, yes!
I just started eating it out of nowhere.
Great move.
And Dave's like, did you just pull a chicken leg? Yeah, I'm like, yeah, Dave, because a turkey leg doesn't fit, just too big.
You know, that's amazing that he can't stand it. I mean, I'm shocked because he's been on this show a couple of times, and we like to say he brings the A game to the show when he comes on, John Madden. He does a really nice
job.
Yeah,
but nobody really has ever screwed with him. I mean,
yeah, that's true, but I don't think it's screwing with him. No, I think it's a compliment. I really do.
I still listen to Madden, and I do think he says some ridiculous and crazy things, but I still like to listen to him during broadcasts. I do. There's something that says he's football.
Frank, you know you've tapped into it, and I know it's your big bit, and I'm not setting you up for it, so don't feel a need, but the whole I love Brett Favre thing is something where you have tapped a nerve, maybe.
Do you think that's what it is?
If there was going to be anything to piss Madden off, I would think he's hit with the fat jokes. You're fat. We're fat. He's fat. It's okay with a boom, boom, boom.
You think it's the Favre thing?
Because I really do think. I think Frank is really hit on the nerve.
You might be right.
Madden really does love him.
An anchor in Milwaukee in the last game of the year, you know, when Favre, they beat the Bears.
Right, when he cried, right.
Yeah, Brett Favre cried too, not only me.
Oh, yeah.
I guess Madden was looking for the conference, the press conference, and he came on a golf cart with his guy to pass this anchor, and the anchor's like, can I talk about you a couple minutes? He goes, no, where's that press conference? I got to see Brett. Like, he really does have that much love for the guy. Yeah. The anchor was like, it was like he was looking for his son, and nothing was wrong with his son.
Maybe that's it.
Frank, you know that we do root for you, and I'll tell you this seriously, folks. Jade and I hate everybody. They're all pricks to me, but Frank Caliendo is really, even to this day, very unassuming, very unpretentious, and with the amount of attention that you're getting, you really are a good dude, Frank. You got a good heart, and you're nice to still come on our stupid show. And you should know when we watch Letterman and we see you on there, we root for you. I mean, it's killer. There is so much more. Last thing, I'll stop slurping. A lot more to Frank than just the Madden thing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we've seen him in person. You got to see him when he's on his back. Laying down, and you see the shirt riding up, and you see stuff coming out, and he just starts riffing on stuff.
Right.
God damn, you're good, and you've not turned into a dick yet.
Yeah, give me...
not yet.
If I'd have had 7 appearances in 13 months on Letterman, here's a guy throwing out that stat again.
That would have kicked it over the top,
The
right?
last thing I wanted to ask you, and this is kind of a broadcasting question, maybe you wouldn't get where I'm coming from on this. Letterman, the show that's going to be on tonight, you guys taped on Monday. That's not a secret. Tonight, there will be no mention of the fact that Anna Nicole Smith kicked. Do you think that that's a big... Do you think anybody would even notice if we didn't mention it? Do you think someone will turn on the show tonight and go, hey, how come Dave is not talking about Anna Nicole Smith?
I don't know, because sometimes people just stay away from things on purpose. I don't think people would notice. You know, did you, I don't know if you watched the Today Show this morning, but that's taped on Monday too, and,
It's amazing how they do that.
No, you know, here's the really weird thing. I was on the sixth floor of the Hard Rock Seminole, staying there for the Super Bowl. I left Super the morning of the Super Bowl, but I may have been in the same room. I'm trying to find out what room she was in.
Thank Jesus. Yeah.
Frank, are you still doing this all, everything just for your wife? Are you still doing everything just... Because the one thing that I've talking to Frank even off the air was he goes out and he does 8 million appearances. He sells his own DVDs. He shakes hands with every person who's there. He thanks everybody for coming to the show. And you say to him, why do you do this? And he says, because I got to support my friggin' wife.
That's it.
Like, because it's all about my family. Is it still the same way, Frank?
Oh, yeah. I try to do as much as I can as fast of a, you know, time period. So I try to throw as many shows together in a, you know, in a weekend and then get out. It's a lot for my family. But I do like to meet the fans and stuff like that. That's all real. I mean, there's some as you guys know, when you meet your fans, sometimes you see some crazy, crazy people. And sometimes you're like, wow, there are heart surgeons that like what I do.
Oh, and I know the last thing that I wanted to slurp you on was I was reading a thing about YouTube. It was the 2-year anniversary of YouTube, and the 50 most downloaded, most watched things on YouTube. And at number 48 was Frank Caliendo's ringtones.
That's got to feel pretty good.
Yeah, why not, right?
Why not?
No, I mean seriously, think about that. With all the garbage that's on YouTube, all the people smacking themselves in the nuts with wiffle bats and everything, it's Frank Caliendo's ringtones. And still you're not a jerk.
You know what? That's the funny thing, though, is kids will come up and go, oh, I love your stuff on YouTube. I go, it took me, you know, 10 years, 15 years to get on Letterman. Who? Well, are you kidding me, kids? Come on.
Let me see. Frank's website has all of his information about where Frank will be. It's frankcaliendo.com. And he'll be on the Letterman Show tonight doing his killer John Madden.
We'll be watching you tonight, Frank.
We love you, Frank.
Great job by me. Better job by you.
All right, later. We're out. We'll rack you.
Hey, rack me.
Let's rack you.
Thanks, Frank.
Bye. Thanks, guys.
Bye, buddy.
Bye-bye.
The great Frank Caliendo.
Yeah.
And he truly is, isn't he?
He is. He is a show, really.
He's a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
And not a dick. I really would expect he would be a dick at this point.
Yeah, give him time.
Because the scene that was painted for me at the Super Bowl, and he was low-balling it, mm-hmm. was that he walked in the room, and you know how it is there.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, when you're in that room with all those loser disc jockeys,
right.
you get someone like, let's say, Deacon Jones, who normally guys wouldn't have on their show. Guys are tripping over themselves to get Deacon
Jones. Because really, on the radio row, especially, you know, at the odd hours, you're not getting people. People really, they come out of their hotel room at 12 noon, and it's tough to get these people.
I talked to a guy who's a producer for those guys, Mike and Mike, those yeah. guys on ESPN,
mm-hmm.
and he said when Caliendo walked into the room that he had 50 radio producers pounce on him.
And
he said that 15 minutes before, the great Gale Sayers had walked into the room wearing a jersey
right.
with his name and his number on it,
no.
and only about 10 guys went running up to him.
Yeah. The state of radio as we know it in America, ladies and gentlemen.
Nothing. He's good. Uh-huh. Goddamn, he's good.
He is.
Don't be offended.
I'm not offended. Oh, what makes you think I'm offended?
Oh, I didn't know if it was the impressionist thing.
No, I'm by that. I'm over that 100%. I'm fine. Sorry, was I zoning out there for a second?
How is your cold?
It's fine. It's absolutely delightful.
To quote Buzz, what is your percentage today?
110 every day I come into the studio.
Mike O'Mara comes to play, folks.
I was actually flashing back to Radio Row and having one of our flashbacks when we used to tackle people. And it's just it's strange that a Hall of Fame football player wouldn't get noticed. But that's the way it is. I mean, that's the world we live in right now.
And they said that everybody had their hands on him and that he could not have been a bigger Class A great guy.
Well, you heard that he was going to be there for 2 hours. And, you know, in order to do that, this is a little behind-the-scenes radio stuff. In order for a guy to walk in and do 2 hours and stay for 5 hours, it means that he's turning around to handlers and the publicists and the people that handle him and say, no, that's all right. I'll stick around because everybody wants to hold you for another 10 or 15 minutes. Right. And then, and most people turn to their publicist and let them handle it. That's the way that works.
Frank Caliendo, good guy. Got a break? My God, when we come back. We've got, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, how many, we have too many tapes for the show every week.
That's a good thing.
Too many tapes. Do you want Anna Nicole Smith tapes?
I wouldn't mind hearing that. I think it's pretty timely.
Do you want Larry King?
Because you won't hear those on Letterman tonight.
Larry King commenting on Anna Nicole Smith.
Mm-hmm.
We have Daffy Duck tapes. We're
talking about Anna Nicole Olsen.
And also, you have something that you carried over from yesterday's show that I'd like to request.
Oh, the drunk Joan Crawford?
Joan Crawford.
Oh, you know
it kind of ties into the Anna Nicole Smith thing.
Hold on, here we go. Here's the next break. You're going to love it. Because it's not only the drunk Joan Crawford tape, but a new tape we have of, what's his name, Orson Welles.
Oh. Is that, now, Rob, is that Orson Welles or is it some... That's Orson. Are you sure that's Orson Welles? Because I heard him playing that before the show.
You heard that before the show, yes.
Boy, Mike, he sounded different than he did in his ear. Wow.
Because we have tapes of Orson Welles, those famous tapes of him doing those commercials about peas.
Uh-huh. Yeah, peas grow there. Orson Welles, who was known to be one of the most difficult subjects to do a commercial with.
All right, so, well, let's just hear a second of this. Hold on a second.
Let's take one.
Orson Welles.
With overlap, action peas.
Orson Welles.
Taking his time.
Action Orson, please.
Action Orson.
Did you just do anything? No, sorry, cut. You're rolling. 102, take two. The French champagne. You know, it's been celebrated for its excellence.
I get it.
Doesn't that sound like Orson
Welles?
Now
that I hear you, that is Orson. I heard it upstairs through a little tiny crappy speaker.
Right.
It's him, but he's... Blitz!
Yeah.
There's a California champagne performance song inspired by that same French excellence.
All right, so we got plenty of stuff with him. What is this one here?
He was our Marilyn Monroe for our generation. And, like, you know, kissing her was like kissing Marilyn Monroe. They have the same mouth.
There it is. There it is. They have the same mouth.
What a hodgepodge.
You knew somebody was going to say it.
An overweight Anna Nicole Smith.
And I like, he says it in a question form. like we've not seen it before. An overweight Anna Nicole Smith?
I also heard a tape of Larry marrying himself to the tragedy. We have one of those tapes, too.
Yeah.
Where Larry's going on and on about his interview with her. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Is that what that one was?
It is.
Okay, let's hear that.
So good.
So good.
Got you. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Let's take the two teams, the Bears and the Colts. How do you like those matchups there? You got Peyton Manning and you have Rex Grossman.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of people say it's Peyton Manning versus Rex Grossman. Right. Those guys don't play against each other. I mean, the teams play against each other, but they're both on offense, and offenses don't play against offenses.
That's right.
You take it this way, Dave. I mean, you look at it like in the wild, a bear would always beat a Colt. I mean, I would not give
you
a chance.
So?
Yeah, I'm pretty much sure of that. It's like paper getting beaten by scissors. I mean, how does rock get beaten by paper, Dave? I mean, and that's like a Colt beating a bear in the wild. I mean, I don't think it's gonna happen.
No.
But in the game, it might happen, but not in the wild.
So I think one
of those two teams has probably got a chance to win that game.
Yeah.
My pappy said, son, you're going to drive me to drinking if you don't stop driving that
high rod again.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
You look like one of those creatures that live in the jungle with those massive eyes. What are they called?
Bush baby.
Suddenly,
Bush baby.
You are dead.
The Bush baby.
What are you doing?
No way, Randy.
Well spoken for white guys.
Really get
Don and Mike.
Howdy, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey guys, actually Jim Rome was last week when during the Super Bowl during the Radio Row, there was an athlete that kind of asked him about Frank Caliendo. He's like, I heard Frank's getting you, whatever. And Jim Rome kind of glossed over it, like, oh yeah, and then he just kind of kept going on.
Yeah, I heard he was pissed. I don't know why the guy wouldn't be absolutely flattered and blown away.
Well,
that,
you know what it is, it's what you said, is that like Madden, if he finds the real nerve, if there's something that really he finds that he's sensitive about, then that's it. And maybe there's something he says. I think Frank's a pretty, you know, he's not exactly going for the jugular when he's doing these things. You know?
Oh my God, with the Madden thing, even when he did it on Mad TV, he could have gone 1,000% grosser.
The popcorn popper. Sure. The bat, I mean, is it any more innocent than that? And sure, what's the word? You know, we speculated for a while that it was because he was eating wings when he had the barbecue sauce on his face. I mean, that's still pretty innocent stuff.
Yeah. I think that's the meanest thing he ever did. Or they've never gone. Clippers were closed.
They've never gone scatological. And even when we tried to get Frank,
much
to go,
as we would hope they would,
we tried to get Frank to go scatological with the Madden with all the sound effects and stuff. And I mean, he played along, but it's really not.
And
you
said his act, right? And you said his act is pure Leno, as far as it's not.
No.
He doesn't go in any dangerous territory.
No, he does what we can't do. He's funny without being crude. Hello, Don and my show. That stupid bastard.
That's called TV.
Hello, Don and my show.
Yeah.
That stupid, talented bastard.
Damn it.
Frank Caliendo. God damn you for doing things the right way.
He's clean. He works. He doesn't work blue.
Hello, Don and Mike.
It seems to me you live your life like a ham hock in the wind. Never knowing which words to slur when the pills kick in.
Oh,
you know, at least
really written.
Some thought into it. Yeah. Is that all you got?
Would like to know you, but you were such a slut, just like Paris Hilton.
Yeah. Ah, bravo.
Very nice.
Bravo.
Very nice.
Quit smelling my belly button.
Very nice. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, hey, I just thought Mike would like to hear about if Anna Nicole Smith had marry Lawrence Welk and then his son, she'd be Anna 1, Anna 2.
Oh, Jesus
Christ. Go to hell. Yeah,
that's terrible.
Go to hell.
That is terrible.
Really, one way ticket to hell.
Isn't it?
Don't want you to say
it. I hate it. You can tell.
I don't want you to. You know what, Mike? You know what that is? That's the cold laughing.
No, it's not.
That's not you laughing.
No, it's not. It's not. It's not the cold.
It's not.
The cold was when I zoned out and you thought I was mad about you having Frank Caliendo on the show again.
I don't want you to. I don't want everybody to think we forgot about the Harry Potter naked bit.
Yeah.
As I mentioned, Mike is battling a cold.
Yes.
And we're trying it out during the break. Maybe we'll go with it on Monday.
I'm praying only one thing. I just don't want to give it to any of you guys. That's the thing. You know what? Because you know what it's like around here.
Yeah.
You know what it really is like. You know, yesterday you didn't see this. I was back in the producer's room.
Yes.
And it was right when I was at the beginning stages of this. And I was actually a little more meh than I am today. And I'm back there, and everybody just kind of scattered.
Yeah.
They were trying to be as polite as possible. But you can't help but feel like a leper. You know, you and I, we always, you know, there's no, we do this in here and we're not going anywhere. That's just the way it is.
You know what I find ridiculous working here, even in our new semi-sterile environment?
Oh, right.
Is that everybody still has like all of the anti-germ stuff for your hands?
Sure.
And we all wash our hands all the time, very conscious of that. And I noticed when I was just in the John, first off, who took the nice big crapper in there today and left some skid marks on the bowl?
I believe I've been told that there were maybe one, two, or even three dumps. I'm one of them. I took one of them today.
But John, you took who?
Rob took one. He raised his hand.
Who lit the candle after they took a leak?
I didn't write the
letter. John, after you took a crap.
John, would you have? So is that three? Anybody? Did Joe? Joe, four.
Four guys crapping here. 100%. All right. So I walk in the bathroom before the show. Shocker, smells like crap,
huh?
And someone's lit a candle.
I didn't light the candle, though.
So I get done like everybody, and I wash my hands. I think, boy, this place is a petri dish. I hope I don't get sick. And I caught myself doing this. I don't mean to gross anybody out. I went to the door and pushed on the handle and opened the door, then went, oh, God, just went like, oh.
Oh,
and stifled a big yawn with my hand, with my freshly washed hand, which I realized, not being germophobic, but still, hold on. How many guys have now gone number two in this room? Mike is already walking around sick with a snotty nose.
Yeah.
I meticulously just washed my hands, as we all do, but then put my hand right on the door handle, which is like, hello, germs, jump right on.
Yeah, I know. It's disturbing. Mm. It's highly disturbing. And it's also disturbing if there's one knock I have on this place. It's there are a few. But the one that I can tell you is the hot water situation. We were discussing that.
Yeah.
We don't have hot water here.
Mike, that's a luxury. That is a luxury. And it's really something you only need 6 months out of the year.
Yeah, this is true. Well, I think you need it when you're washing hands, though.
I pity the man who had no shoes until I met the man who had no feet.
Thank you, Rob. But no, you're right. There is a problem with hot water here. Although, remember, like 4 months ago, we had too much water in here.
No, that's right.
But it was flooded.
Yeah, the flood.
But so, none of it was hot.
Hot as my show.
Warmish.
Epic.
Hello?
Yes, Muslim God marries Larry King.
Who buries?
The Muslim God's name.
The Muslim God?
Muslim God.
Allah King.
Allah King.
Oh, my.
Allah King.
Oh, my.
I'm sorry, but I'm not.
Oh, no.
He's not sorry.
Allah King.
More hot water?
Please, Rob.
I'll bring some in.
All right, so we'll do the Harry Potter thing on Monday. Also on Monday, Putty from Seinfeld.
That guy with the new TV show.
Right, I refuse to acknowledge his new show. We'll just call him Putty from Seinfeld.
How's his new show doing?
I guess okay.
Okay.
Also, I was reading, because it's on Monday night, made me think, when we were talking about how 24 might be tanking in the ratings.
Yeah.
I was looking at the Nielsen's. 24 got beat the first week by...
Golden Globes. Right.
But since then... It has kicked ass.
Yeah.
24 has won its time slot.
How? I mean, really,
it continues to roll along.
Good. If we hadn't had Bill Buchanan on the show, do you think there's a chance you would have jumped ship?
No,
after last week?
I'm going to give it at least a couple more weeks.
Okay. Right.
I think we are just 1 or 2 weeks away from a major character.
They always deliver in the long run.
Going down.
2 hours this week too.
Yeah, right. And that's another thing. You're right, Robbie. 2 hours.
That's the first sign for me. You're saying 2 hours, and I'm not going.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going,
that's
okay.
The cold.
You think that's...
I agree.
Everything's the cold.
I agree. Well, let's pull you out of that, Mike. Let's pull you out of this cold funk that you're in.
Yeah, this horrible depression I'm in.
Let's hear that Orson Welles.
This horrible
song.
Chicken Ollie King depression.
Cheer up, God.
Thank you, Chicken Ollie King.
I'm here today.
Here is drunk Orson Welles.
All right, I'll love this.
Actually, take one. With overlap, action feed.
You can tell by how long it takes to do it. He doesn't even pay attention.
Action order.
Action, please.
Did you just do anything?
No, sorry, cut. You're rolling. 102, take two.
The French champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence. There's a California champagne by Paul Masson, inspired by that same French excellence. It's fermented in a bottle, and like the best French champagne, it's vintage dated. So Paul Masson...
I have a question.
Yeah.
Is this drunk Orson, or could this be completely thieved out Orson? Because his voice sounds several octaves higher.
It's labeled as drunk Orson Welles.
I'm listening now with headphones. I think the tape might be a little fast.
Okay.
But right. I think it is, because he never got real feeble. Remember, he did Moonlighting, like,
right
weeks before
the end.
He died.
Okay.
It sounded
right.
Great.
Action, please.
The French champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence. There is a California champagne by Paul Masson, inspired by that same French excellence. It's fermented in the bottle, and like the best French champagne, it's vintage dated. So Paul Masson...
He's got a little breathing issue.
All right,
there.
So tell me if you can tell the difference between him and her.
Everyone in my life has stabbed me in my back or said something bad about me or sued me or... blackmailed me for money, or...
Oh, how dare I play this tape, but I see that someone's walked into the room.
Hi, Joe!
Hi. Just to give you a visual on Orson, you know how people look right before they're about to throw up? And they just get that stare, and they're just kind of looking beyond everything?
Right.
And the actors around him are all just standing there going...
Oh, so there's video of this, too.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right, he's loaded.
Hi, Joe!
Hey.
Hey, Joe.
It's a step up from yesterday.
Hey, Joe!
Hi, Joe!
Do you know CBS has a radio station?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Joe. I learned that. Let's take one more call before we turn this over to Buzz.
PAF.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Pay attention Friday.
Hello.
Hey, great mic.
Yes. I thought you meant pick an effer. I pick Joe.
Joe.
A mother effer.
Joe.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hey, what if Rosanna Dana had a lesbian wedding with Chiquita Banana?
No, I'm sorry. That's it? You've ruined it. Have ruined it.
Like that,
have ruined it.
Like that one is
Rosanna Dana Banana.
That one is crap, but
no, I'm sorry. You know why it's crap?
Why?
That's because crap, it's not a human. He's violated a rule.
Oh, wait a minute. Cartoon characters?
No, wrong.
No.
Chiquita Banana, right. Not even remotely human. I don't care if you cross gender, if you do lesbian, homosexual, but no, not a piece of fruit.
But Chicken a la King.
Chicken a la King.
That you fall out for.
It's an entity and a human. A la and King. Thank you.
All right, goodbye.
Strangely, after that call, I'm feeling much better.
Don't you want to know where my mom lives?
No.
Oh. Just outside Horadelphia.
See? See, he did the same thing with Horrorville in Horonto. Horadelphia doesn't work, much like Chiquita Banana doesn't work, with really one of the great joke riffs I've ever heard in my life.
Hey, goodbye, you.
Goodbye.
Come on.
I said goodbye.
Go away.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
He did.
Okay.
I think so.
We'll be back with Francis' book.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Hey, baby.
Godless, motherless bastards. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Hey, baby. Time for Buzz News Now, brought to you tonight by Mervis Diamond Importers. Find a little brilliance with a pair of diamond stud earrings from ediamonds.com. That's www.e-diamonds.com. Or call 1-800. I screwed that up. 1-800 for love. And now here's Francis. Hi, Frank.
Hi, Don and Mike. Here's something you haven't heard yet today. A Disney World employee is in jail and charged with possession of child pornography.
Uh-oh.
20-year-old Matthew Wendland, 20 years old, turned into authorities by his own roommates.
The old hands-in-the-pants trick worked wonders.
Excuse me?
After they discovered pictures of young children engaged in sex acts in his room. Wendland's job at Disney World was playing the part of the Beast in the Beauty and the Beast show.
Oh, dear.
He also sometimes plays Goofy.
I like rape.
I bet he does.
The head of the Cartoon Network has resigned after that ad campaign gone bad.
Had to get out of here, Cartoon Network.
Adult Swim.
Adult Swim on Cartoon Network. Got to get out of here right now.
Jim Samples, Jr.'s brother, a general manager of that Turner Broadcasting Channel, has stepped down after unusual devices were planted in cities around the U.S.
I'd like to apologize to Boston on Cartoon Network.
The light bright things, right?
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
didn't mean to have SpongeBob flip you off Cartoon Network.
Now, this week's bizarre story of an astronaut love triangle raises the question, have any of our astronauts ever had sex in space?
Of course, Buzz.
Well, the short answer is probably, but we can't prove it. NASA says it doesn't know. Until this week, NASA didn't want to know. But now, as I said when the story broke, that should probably be examined. So here it is.
Hey, you know, I'm just thinking, in zero gravity?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you had, like, one of my movies, you know, Handies Across America?
Right.
That stuff would just float all over the cabin.
Yeah, that's pretty gross.
It'd be like the reluctant astronaut with Don Knotts when he tried to squirt out some toothpaste, I believe, and it went just floating all over the cabin.
Weightless.
That would be really a bad movie.
The reluctant jerker.
I would pay to see that in a weightless environment.
Well,
it would be better than slow-mo.
I tell you what, why don't we go down to space camp at Cape Canaveral?
Don't you go up in the plane, right, to get the weightless environment?
Long time ago, when Bart was a little boy, he and I went to space camp in Huntsville, Alabama,
right,
where they did have, at that time, 10 years ago, they had some big trailer you would go to, and that actually did.
There was a chamber where you could get weightlessness?
Yeah, you had to wait a couple of hours, but you would actually be able to float a little bit.
That's pretty cool. Call Mary Carey.
Lisa Nowak and Bill Oefflein were never in space at the same time, so they're not likely members of the 62-mile-high club. It's believed that some astronauts are, however, but so far none of them have talked about it. It can't be easy. A shuttle's no bigger than a 737 with two sections, each about the size of an office.
Oh, I get it. Hold on a second. 62-mile club.
Right.
I got it.
62-mile-high club.
Because it's not mile-high, Mike. They're way in it. They're 61 times higher than an airplane.
Up with the space creatures.
Right. Now, the restroom on the shuttle is really just a closet with a curtain, so that doesn't work. There's just no place to hide. The space station, however, is a different story.
How do you keep your poops from floating around, incidentally?
I'm sure they have a way.
I'm sure they have a vacuum seal or something
Their head on the spaceship is a vacuum-like thing where it just...
Does the bathroom have hot water?
I don't know. I doubt it. Let's see. The compartments are very small. Lack of gravity that Don mentioned, also a problem, not only logistically, but it causes nausea. You're not as horny if you feel nauseous.
Oh, Buzz, I'm telling you, though, people have done it because can you imagine be the greatest turn-on in the world? You're up there going, look at that, we're floating around the world.
Yeah, but there's a problem.
I want to bone you so bad. I don't care about zero gravity.
Yeah.
I don't care about the tang falling out of our pockets.
And what I know about the space shuttle and the space station, all of that, anything that's up there never gets out of there because it's a completely sealed environment.
That's right. It's
there forever.
It's like you having sex with everyone that ever had sex there.
Now,
whatever happened to tang?
Is Tang still sold? It's still sold.
Still around and great for cleaning your dishwasher.
Is Tang really still available in stores?
Yes, yes, it is.
In this day and age, who the hell would buy Tang?
It's crazy. Astronauts would.
I got the feeling when my mom would buy that, she'd bring that home like it was a treat, right? Like
that's how we looked at it.
Be like, hey, got you Tang,
right?
And you'd put some in a. And all I can say now is it tastes like Metamucil. You know, back then I didn't know what Metamucil was.
And you know, it was the same thing with it. Everything was orange flavored too. Our aspirin, our breakfast drink. You know,
Eloise is a big champion of Tang. She'll tell you to mix it with instant tea. She'll print that about once a year.
Tang. And still people make jokes about it. Letterman. We were talking about him. He makes a lot of Tang jokes with the astronauts now.
The lack of gravity we're talking about, it also reduces your blood pressure, and that means less blood flow, and as you know, good sex is all about blood flow. NASA also keeps the astronauts very busy, at least during the week, but they do get free time on weekends. At least one American married couple has spent time up there, and a couple of Russians apparently became a couple during one of their missions.
And all I'm doing while you're doing the news, even thinking about Tang, is thinking about my name game we've been playing all day long, and I'm sitting here doing these private things that would die a horrible death, but in amusing myself, and to you, I want to apologize.
Oh, it's quite all right. All right. Fashion designer Donatella Versace.
Wang Chung, Jackie Chan.
What if Vera Wang married one of those guys?
That's better.
Vera Wang
Tang.
Vera Wang Tang.
Fashion designer Donatella Versace says, Hillary,
don't go crazy. It's no chicken a la king.
I know, it's not. And what if she joined the group Wang Chung after that? Then it'd be Vera Wang Chang Chung. No, I'm done. I'm sorry.
No, you're not.
Gone too far with it, and I'm never going to do it again.
You were about an hour ago.
You'll be calling us.
I'm never doing it again, and I'm lying.
Donatella Versace says, Hillary Clinton should drop the pants. Versace says Hillary should wear dresses and skirts instead of sensible slacks.
Baby, just go crotchless.
Mm-hmm. Quoting Donatella, who's a Clinton supporter, she's a woman and she's allowed to show that. She should treat her femininity as an opportunity.
She's all woman.
And not try to emulate masculinity in politics.
If Scott Baio took Donatella Versace's name, he'd be Chachi Versace. I'm so sorry.
There's no stopping
I'm
him.
So very sorry. He can't help himself.
Thank God you were done with it.
I know. Yeah. I'm very sorry.
Versace says Hillary should also wear black suits instead of the blue ones that seem to be her favorites. No word on what she thinks John McCain should wear.
Mm-hmm.
A bodybuilder in Norfolk, Virginia says crazy TV preacher Pat Robertson threatened to kill him and his family.
Oh, wow.
Philip Bush posed for ads promoting Robertson's protein diet shake. For the last 5 years, Robertson's been selling...
That's a lot of protein. I taste it.
He's been selling what he calls an age-defying protein drink.
That's a number three joke.
He also... I know.
There's lots of protein in that. Yeah. Girls, remember that this weekend. Remember that. It's good for you.
Do you remember the ABC news lady, Joan London?
Yeah.
If Paris Hilton had a lesbian relationship, she'd be Paris London. Hi, this is Mike O'Mara. I would like to apologize to all of our listeners. I'm very, very sorry.
You know, if you called, we would rail on you scream at you for about an hour.
I am aware of that.
We would take away your privileges.
I'm sorry.
We would stomp all
over. I know you would.
Paris, London.
I know. It would be ridiculous.
Hello, is it me?
How stupid. And then at the end, I would say Paris, London and whatnot.
So Robertson sells this, what he calls, age-defying protein drink.
What if Ferris Bueller married her?
Married who? It'd
be Ferris Paris.
Ferris.
Sorry.
Yeah.
See, still not as bad as yours, though.
See what he
at least it rhymes, though.
That's all that matters. It rhymes or has some kind of weird connection.
Right. Ferris Bueller.
Paris Bueller.
Paris Bueller.
Paris Bueller.
There you go.
That's it. Pat Robertson also gives the recipe. You don't have to buy the protein drink, but he gives the recipe to 700 Club viewers who write in and ask for it. What he gets out of the deal, of course, is your mailing address.
Bros this weekend.
Isn't it pure protein?
100%.
Speaks
Mike, you would knock that cold right out.
Ugh. That's so gross.
All you have to do is put it in your nose.
That's
so gross, Donnie. You gross me out big time with that. What'd I do? Put that in my tongue?
Philip Bush, the bodybuilder, says the drink helped him drop from 400 to 200 pounds. He wrote a letter to the 700 Club about that. They flew him up for an interview. They started using his before and after pictures and never compensated him for it. So now he's suing Robertson. And now he's also filed a police complaint because he says Robertson threatened to kill him and his family when they all appeared together in court this week.
I saw one of his ads. You know what he said in one of his ads?
What? Like my body?
Robertson's lawyer denies this and says the bodybuilder's real goal is extortion.
Yes.
And praise the Lord and pass the love butter, the Reverend Ted Haggard, who was outed by a muscly male prostitute last year, is now cured. Glory, hallelujah, he's healed. Say amen.
I no longer want to take out the bag.
That's the wrong button.
Okay.
I got big, dumb fingers.
Four ministers spent 3 weeks counseling Ted about something he used to preach against. Now one of the ministers says he's convinced that Ted is now, quote, completely heterosexual. Give me another
That's
amen.
That's right.
Amen.
That's just like this week's episode of Boston Legal.
Yeah, it is. Sadly, Reverend Ted won't be coming back to the 14,000-member New Life Church he founded. It's been recommended he find work outside the church.
Sure.
L.A. police are still trying to figure out what happened last weekend with Ryan O'Neill and his son, Griffin. Start taking notes, because this thing has just grown hair.
Okay.
Police now believe that Ryan swung a fireplace poker at Griffin and also struck Griffin's pregnant girlfriend in the face. For some reason, Griffin ran outside. That, police say, is when Ryan O'Neill fired the pistol. Maybe it was a warning shot. Maybe he was aiming. We still don't know. The evening picked up when Ryan and his ex-wife, Farrah Fawcett, arrived home from Farrah's birthday party. There, they found their son, Redmond, tied up and tethered like a dog.
Who are these people? Who are these names? Whatever happened to good old-fashioned names like Cody and Cassidy?
Amen.
His half-brother, Griffin, had tied up Redmond to keep him from going out to score more PCP.
No wonder these kids are nuts. Give them names like John and Fred or Sue. Anything but Sue.
Griffin had tied his brother up?
Yes, so that his brother wouldn't go out and score more PCP because apparently Redmond had already OD'd on PCP earlier that evening.
This wouldn't happen in the Andy Reid household.
Redmond's now checked into rehab.
Isn't PCP like so 20 years ago? Do they still do that?
I still do it.
Buzz?
It's an 80s retro thing. Ryan's lawyer says it was a drunken Griffin who swung at Ryan, accidentally hit his own girlfriend after Griffin threw a heavy glass ashtray at his dad. All of this will end up in court. And after Robert Blake and O.J., what could possibly go wrong?
Did you say your money's on Ryan in this and so
yes.
is mine? I agree with you there.
I thought that one kid is always nuts. And from what I read in the tabloids, he's like become Farrah Fawcett's long lost. I know they were together for a while, but they've rekindled now because of her ass cancer. Whether she had boob cancer?
No,
what is
he
it?
Said it was anal cancer.
That's what he said. We don't know.
I think he ought to give up all this, turn gay, and marry a record mogul. Then he'd be Griffin Geffen.
I
am really sorry again.
That is not even...
I know.
It's not even funny.
I know it's not.
I blame the medication.
I'm not on any serious medication.
So
it's a little Zycam.
Funny. You've got the Anna Nicole mess. You've got the Ryan O'Neill mess, which should take some of the heat off Charlie Sheen.
Oh, hold on, Buzz. Hold on. Time out. Before we gloss over Anna Nicole, I know we've heard Anna Nicole's slurry speech.
Everyone in my life has stabbed me in my back.
And then did we hear her mama?
She was our...
I have a lot of memories of her. She was just wild and free.
That's her mama. But here's the best one. Please listen to the nice reading here by Anna Nicole Smith's sister.
Hogan. On behalf of the Hogan family, we are saddened and heartbroken by my sister's death. No matter what our differences have been over the years, Anna was still our blood, and she will be missed terribly. She was a woman who was determined to get out of her small town in
nice
Texas
reading.
And make a name for herself.
A name.
She became an international star,
and
she was a good
star.
Mother to Daniel. There is no doubt that her son loved her. They lived out of each other's pockets while he was alive. And now they can be together again in heaven. We feel that the death of her son left her deeply saddened, a sadness she hid from everyone. As a mother of three, I am anguished by this tragic event and the fact that her new baby daughter, Hope, is now without a mother.
Like me.
An overweight Anna Nicole Smith.
I was.
I'm clapping up.
Was low. But.
Quit smelling my belly button.
I found.
Everyone in my life.
Was black.
Or said something bad about me.
Now. I see.
The fact that everybody's paying attention to Anna Nicole and now to some degree the Ryan O'Neill story, this is a huge relief to Charlie Sheen. I'll explain why when we return.
All right, Sheen in the news.
Sheen.
I got nothing.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crestpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Celebrating 20 years of genius. The Don and Mike Show.
Hi. Hi there, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Yeah, maybe everything else in the news will draw attention away from the video that Heidi Fly says she's releasing about Charlie Sheen. Charlie there. The Hollywood madam has hooked up with a transvestite named Kayla Cox to sell a lame video about Charlie's supposed fascination with Kayla. There's apparently nothing that's clearly incriminating.
Kayla, wasn't that the name of the woman with the 93-pound cyst on the show yesterday?
Absolutely. The happy, giggly Kayla. Coincidence?
Kayla Hilton.
There's apparently nothing that's very incriminating, or clearly incriminating at least, for the star of TV's Two and a Half Men. We do see on this video, we see the tranny standing in front of a Beamer and a mansion and riding around in a limo, supposedly all of this belonging to Charlie. We see her being interviewed by Heidi. What you don't ever see on the video is Charlie Sheen.
Well, he's also bulletproof on this because that's his image on TV now.
Tonight, Charlie.
In fact, it's amazing how much this reflects the TV show. Kayla says she used to ask the transvestite to sashay down the beach to see how many straight guys could hit on her while Charlie watched from the window of his beach house.
Don!
Hey, Charlie.
How are you? I just got here with my new car.
Nice.
What if Queen Latifah married Charlie Sheen?
What would it be?
Queen Sheen. Thank you. Get better, Mike.
Spotlight on the new Don and Mike affiliate city of Albuquerque.
Yay.
Just chosen as America's most physically fit city by Men's Fitness Magazine. That's up from 13th place last year. If Albuquerque seems like if it seems like an odd choice for America's fittest city, it is. Delicious Mexican.
Oh, you know why?
Yeah, Mexicans.
You know why? Tex-Mex. Right. Low cal.
Well, it's been said, though, that Mexican food is actually high in fat.
What city was that again, Buzz?
Albuquerque.
And I would disagree. I think that Tex-Mex in today's trans fat, count your carbs.
Sure, if you're...
You get yourself a nice burrito.
Mm-hmm.
You can knock that baby out for like 400 calories, something like
that.
Right,
but traditional Mexican cooking is done with lard and other things that are not quite so healthy and a little higher in fat.
Well, and I always say, why eat a burrito when you can eat a chimichanga?
Wasn't that your old DJ name?
Tex-Mex.
And I always like, you're talking about natural food.
Right.
I like my Mexican food, whatever it is, Italian, Mexican, mm-hmm. lots of chemicals and lots of man-made products in it.
Right.
Preservatives.
Thank you, Mike. That's what I love.
Amen.
I love it when it's got very low sodium on whatever it is I'm having.
That's good, yeah.
Because it means that really they've got an extraordinary large amount of sodium in
it. Yeah, that's right. And then you can always salt it.
All right, you can always have your own. The magazine's editor admits the survey is, quote, not scientific. After all, last year's winner was Baltimore.
We know that can't be true.
This year, Baltimore's in eighth place, just ahead of Portland, Oregon.
These are the fittest cities?
Yes, that's what the list we're on now.
You've just named three cities that we broadcast to.
Is it coincidence?
Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Right.
Baltimore, Maryland. Portland, Oregon.
Actually, I'm skipping around to highlight our affiliate cities.
Fittest cities with the tiggest bitty.
D.C.'s climbed from 18th to 11th.
I think we all want to know, what about Sacramento?
San Francisco. I don't have Sacramento on the list. I'll check into them, but they didn't. They're fit. Sacramento.
Fit to be tied.
Sacramento neither made the fittest list, nor did they make the fattest list. They're somewhere in between.
Bet they complain about that.
I'm sure they will. This year's fattest city is Las Vegas. The third fattest city is Miami.
I'm Tanya. What's that girl's name that does that?
Tanya Roberts.
I'm Tanya Roberts. Call now for a special treat.
Las Vegas is calling.
You want some VD with that?
Wichita held fairly steady as the 20th fattest city in America, right behind Fresno at the 19th fattest city. A USA Today reported this week that the growing of marijuana has moved into the suburbs. The paper says more and more indoor pot farms are being discovered in America's residential neighborhoods, especially the newer ones.
Congratulations, Joe. Always a class act.
Hi, Joe.
Police think it's because it's easier to be anonymous in the suburbs with everyone living in similar but separate little boxes.
All the McMansions.
People in the new developments don't know as many of their neighbors as do people in older neighborhoods. Five houses in one suburb in Lathrop, California. 10,000 plants in a house in New Hampshire in December. 300 plants in a home in Bellevue, Washington.
So what are you moving out there, Buzz?
Which place? There were nearly 200,000 people. 200,000 people arrested last year, four times what it was the year before that.
Hi, Marcia. We're moving to where every day is Christmas.
In most cases, the growers were turned in by their neighbors.
Mm.
And in his new budget, the president's asked for nearly a third increase in the amount of money the government spends telling teenagers not to use marijuana. A five-year study has shown that those public service announcements may have even had the opposite effect.
Right, they do, Dick. You know, the one that makes me laugh every time I see it now is the one where they're like stick figures. It's crude animation, but it's done that way on purpose.
Right.
Where there's a little stick figure guy, and he's talking to his girlfriend, and they got the cartoon bubbles. And he's got a joint in his hand,
right.
And he says, and he passes it to her, and her little bubble says, "No, thank you." And then you see a spaceship come down, and he offers the weed to the Martian, and the Martian says, "No, thank you." And then she hops in the spaceship with him, and they fly away. And every time I see it, I think, well, that's great. The guy with the weed was left alone, and now she's going to be raped by some Martian.
Yeah, that's not good.
Serves her right. Well, not an anti-drug ad.
Nobody wins there.
Well, that certainly didn't get their message through to you, did they?
That's for sure. The study says at the very least those PSAs have accomplished nothing. The new Democratic Congress is not likely to go along with the president's proposal. At the very least, they're expected to demand that the government run at least as many ads about meth as it does about marijuana.
And who hasn't laughed at that? At the greatest one of all time, really, go, this is your brain.
Right. Yep.
This is your brain on drugs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you put that stuff out, and it's like telling a kid, don't do it.
Right, exactly.
Makes you want to do it even more.
Better than that is, I learned it from you!
Yeah, when he breaks into the room.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That maybe is the best one ever from back in the day, where there's some kid that's getting high, and the dad comes in and says, Bobby, how could you be this way? He turns and he's got his little eyes are all starting to water up.
I learned it from you.
Dun, 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 dun. Have you seen the one with the dad with the earring? That's
no.
The latest one.
I haven't.
They're in a diner and he's telling his kids about drugs. Mm-hmm. And it's something, you know, back in the day, it was cool. You know, he doesn't know that you were that you rode with some motorcycle guys and you were also in a commune or something like that, you know, back in the day. And all they do is zero in on the dad who's really conservative. But you see the tiny little earring hole that he's got.
We have tape of that.
Oh, do we?
Do we?
Yeah. Hold on, yes.
Hey, you know something? No, what? I had a dream last night.
There it is. That's exactly in the diner.
Oh, my.
In sports, a couple more notes on the Super Bowl, which gave a start to this crazy week. In Decatur, Illinois, a diehard Bears fan has to pay off a bet, legally changed his name to Peyton Manning.
We'll have him on the show. What day next week? Someday.
Tuesday,
something like that, yeah.
Quoting the former Scott Weiss, there was a little alcohol involved. So we look forward to hearing from him. New report says people with high-def TVs remember more of the Super Bowl commercials than do people with low-def. The study says high-defers remember 15% more of the commercials than standard definition viewers.
I smell a rat there.
Yeah, go buy a set.
Yeah, exactly.
Ah, very nice.
Isn't it?
Thank you, Travis.
Travis Nicole Smith. And Prince may have done that Foo Fighters song, Best of You, during the halftime show for revenge.
Hey, I heard that Prince said today that he's the father of Anna Nicole Smith's baby.
He did. Just minutes ago, we broke the story.
And I did not know that Prince was married to Zsa Zsa Gabor.
I didn't either.
You see, there is a Prince.
There is a Prince.
There is some guy. We figured out.
Prince Agarn is the real Prince.
Is that his name, Agarn?
Yeah, from Astro.
Prince Agarn. Agard.
And she was the princess bride, right?
Right.
Anyway, there was a story that Zsa Zsa Gabor's husband, who's a prince, is now alleging that he's also the father of Anna Nicole Smith's baby.
And he's 64 years old. So he has had an affair with her for 10 years.
Amazing.
Prince Agarn Yakov.
Prince didn't like it when the Fighters of Foo covered his hit Darling Nikki 4 years ago. He said they mangled it. So the thought is that he did their song for revenge. Somehow.
Hmm.
And finally, in Bulgaria, you might have to wait.
I didn't even know. He did Big Me at the Super Bowl?
No, he did the Best of You. Best of You.
Oh, Best of You.
Best of You.
Oh, Best. Yeah.
Okay. Did he do it quickly? And like, rip through it?
Part of a medley. It was a part of a medley, yes.
Was it before or after he did? What was the Hendrix song he did? Didn't he do
All Along the Watchtower.
Was it before or after that?
It was just after Watchtower.
I don't even remember. What, Johnny?
I think he led into it. He started off with the Foo Fighters and then went into All Along the Watchtower.
I thought he started with Let's Go Crazy.
No, I'm talking in that one song.
Oh, in the montage. Right. All right, thank you, John. Hey, John, how's your mom?
She's great.
Darn it!
Love that spot.
I'll tell you about that on Monday.
Finally, in Bulgaria, you might have to wait a long time for the bus to arrive at the bus stop. And now, at night, the big TV screens at those Bulgarian bus stops, the ones that show the schedule by day, are showing softcore pornography at night. Quoting a Metro spokesman, we wanted to give the passengers something to take their minds off the cold. I'm Buzz Burbank.
Yeah, baby.
On the Don and Mike Show.
Sorry, we're out of time.
No. You ever heard? Is there some guy named Ernie Fears?
Ernie Fears. How do we know Ernie Fears?
Is that a radio guy?
I think he was a salesman. I think he was a sales guy that we worked with at Wavo.
But he married Britney Spears.
Britney Spears Fears. Thank you so much. Thank you for leaving that with me.
We can be the wind-up sign. Now, I'm just starting to cook on All Eight Like Mike is with this hilarious bit.
Yeah, baby, that sends me into my weekend. Cold or not, I'm feeling good.
Have a great weekend, everybody. Thank you to Frank Caliendo for being on the show today. Also, Steve from the Jerry Springer Show. And we'll see you Monday. Love you, Frieda. Love you, Bart. Love you, Amy. Have a safe weekend. Get well, okay?
Yes, absolutely.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day, Frank and Had.
You know, if Gary Spiewak married me, we'd both be miserable forever.
I got nothing.
This is the Don and Mike Show.